Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Ford of Galesburg on West Main Street, where your purchase is backed by our promise. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Hinchliffe Pearson West, funeral directors and cremation services in Galesburg and Abingdon. Here for you and your family in your time of need. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. And by Solvera Health in Galesburg. Bringing hospitality to healthcare. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to Galesburg High School Football here on WGIL as the Galesburg Silver Streaks hit the road tonight. Thanks for being with us as we watch for hopefully some good results. Silver Streaks trying to get back into the win column after a tough loss to open the season last week at home against Sterling. Let's take a look at the Western Big Six standings. Geneseo is one of the four teams that opened with a victory last week as they knocked off United Township. That game 36-13. Geneseo benefited from a number of UT turnovers and took advantage of those. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, turned the ball over four times in the game last week. Silver Streaks were already behind for most of those turnovers, and all it really did was deny them an opportunity to try to put together a rally. So it was less of a factor in the game for the Silver Streaks in their loss than it was in helping Geneseo take down United Township. Moline, another team at the top of the conference after opening with a two-touchdown victory over Quincy. They'll be at Rock Island tonight. The Rocks opened with a big victory over Alamann a week ago, 47-6. And tonight, Sterling will be at Alamann. So that's what else is happening around the area in the Western Big Six this evening. Again, the story of the night is the Silver Streaks going with Geno Williams at quarterback tonight due to an injury to Tristan Legate, and we talked about that in the pregame. And other than that, not much changes for the Silver Streaks, but certainly what does change in the ripple effect factor, and we did not talk about this, guys, in the pregame, but I know Jake, you and Sean both brought it up last week in the sense of the fact that Geno is a starting defensive player in the defensive backfield, and he's starting at the receiver spot, and the Silver Streaks lost Mason Kimmett last week, who was emerging as a reliable and potentially big play receiver. So the ripple effect that the injuries have, it's not just losing your starting quarterback, it's how that's going to affect the depth of this team and those other positions too. It really forces some other guys to step up.
Yeah, you look offensively, and you might see a little more tight end use tonight for that reason. But, you know, offensively, we Amari can run out in the slot. You got the return of Cam McGuire, hopefully healthy again to take more carries from the backfield. Marcus Lewis is going to fill in more on defense now. They'll replace. So, yeah, there is a ripple effect. I'm much more comfortable with the way we can replace Geno in those other positions. I think that we have the guys that are going to be able to step up and take care of business in those spots.
Yeah, we still have some marquee players out there too. I mean, Mikey Eicher is going to be in position that he's been all season on the offensive side, particularly with the receptions that he's had. He had three touchdowns last week.
Correct, five for the season now.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we still have him. He's our number one target. So, I mean, Geno is not our number one target, but we still have our guys out there, you know, and we're going to have Mikey at corner as well, and we're going to have John Silvey still back there as a free safety. So, you know, I still like what we have. You guys who are still in there, who are still healthy playing, getting after it on the defensive side.
And it does put Cam McGuire in a more of a defensive role also. So not only the increased need for him to be a little bit more of an impact out of the offensive backfield, but out of the defensive backfield as well. Geneseo won the toss, deferred to the second half, so the Silver Streaks will start off on offense. And a beautiful evening as we get started here a little bit late, about 16 minutes late. Freshman-sophomore game pretty much ended on time, but again, we did have Hall of Fame induction ceremonies here tonight at Geneseo. So there was a bit of that between the game, and it is homecoming as well. That may draw out halftime a little bit. Right now, 73 degrees and clear as we get, or mostly clear. There are some clouds in the sky, but a little bit of a wind, south-southeast at 6 miles an hour. Any effect of that down on the field, Jake?
Silver Streaks will be traveling the field here at Geneseo, which goes north to south. The Silver Streaks will get the football. They'll be traveling into the wind towards the south, wearing their white unis and their gray pants with a short kick
short
off
kick.
The start.
Taken and dropped at the 35-yard line, but I think the Silver Streaks were able to fall on it at about the 36, where Galesburg will indeed start on offense and hang on to the ball. Darius Walker, Johnny, on the spot. He was the guy whose hands the ball went through, but then he was able to fall on it immediately, and the Streaks have it at the 37. A shaky start, but hopefully no long-term impact.
And that could have been a game plan. You know, we're fine number 11. He's a sophomore. Let's kick it to him. And so, you know, bobbled it. We got it. Here we are, first and 10 coming out.
So for the Silver Streaks, Marcus Lewis will split out wide to the right, two to the left, including Amari Richardson lining up at slot, and Mikey Eicher to the outside. Now Richardson goes in motion left to right, gets the handoff, trying to sweep to the outside, trying to find a spot, a little bit of a hole, tripped up, falls forward, gets close to the 40 on first down.
Jake, we're setting that up. I think that we're seeing you run that play first because you want to see how they're going to adjust to our motion.
Yeah, you absolutely run the jet sweep. You're absolutely right. Just to see how they're going to adjust, what they're going to do on the defensive backfield. We're watching safeties right now on that, so we're going to get a play call in and see if we can take advantage of the way they're motioning safeties towards the way we motion.
Geno Williams, 6 foot, 153 pounds, multi-sport athlete, getting his first start at quarterback for the Silver Streaks, and he'll line up in the pistol. And in motion is Nolan Carl. Lines up to the right. Back to pass. Miscommunication on the handoff. Geno scoops it up, and it'll be a loss as he's taken down back to the 38-yard line. Miscommunication on the handoff between him and Aguirre. The ball bounced once, came right back into the hands of Geno, who kept his head about him, scooped it up, and was able to get back some of the lost yardage, and it's back to the original line of scrimmage, third and 10.
Jake, was that chicken wing?
No, they were going to run counter.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be a chicken wing. They were going to run their little counter off the jet motion. You called it. They ran the jet motion in the same direction, and we're going to run a little counter off of it. So setting the play up. I like the way he's trying to get it to work. But, again, this quarterback, Cam Aguirre's been out of game. Geno's just in. It's just a little mix-up there in the backfield, putting the Streaks in third and long.
Easton Reed splits out wide to the left as the wide out and
a whistle.
A whistle from the line judge on the far side. Now the Silver Streaks are going to
Mikey out.
Yep, Mikey's coming out. He'll be replaced by Lewis. So third and 10. Streaks don't want to see their big play receiver head out. But that's what's going to happen here. Third and 10 for the Silver Streaks. Again, Nolan Carl splits left now. Winds up right, back to pass. Geno, little dump off to Cam, floats it over to him. Caught, trying to get to the outside, crosses the 40 to the 42-yard line. He'll pick up 5 on fourth down, just trying to find something to open up. Cam hoping to find a hole and spurt through it. So a little gain of 5, and the Streaks will head out to punt.
Trying to get athletes into space, that's going to be the name of the game tonight. Geno's got to put a little more on that football and don't float it
as much. Yeah, that made me a little nervous too.
Yeah, just got to get the ball in Cam's hand so he can catch it and make a move. All right, so we're getting the punt team out here. A little confusion. Punt team's coming out now, settled in. Hopefully flip the field.
Sam Satiski has all of the kicking duties for the Streaks. He gets a low kick. Coming up underneath it at the 27-yard line, trying to spin to the outside and spun down. A.J. Weller. Return of about 5, and Geneseo will have the ball just across the 30. They'll spot it at about, well, right at the 31-yard line.
Nice coverage there, Jake. I don't know. Yeah. I think Nolan that got down there, wrapped him up.
Yeah, and oftentimes that is. Nolan is a long snapper, and so very often, well, you have to leave the long snapper uncovered in high school football. So it's usually the long snapper that's going to get down there first. Nolan, a good athlete, good sure tackle.
A.J. Weller, the starting quarterback, lines up with a single setback to his right. Two wideouts right, tight end left. They're going to run it left. And the handoff goes on the ground to Connor Helke, a 5'9", 200-pound, basically a fullback as the lone running back, and a short gain, actually maybe even a loss on first down, as the Streaks covered it well
Jake, no
and
cover.
He does lose a yard.
Sorry about that, Brad. Jake, no cover three look here. You see, we're manned up. John manned Sibley up. Was not in a deep slot there for that, 10 yards deep. He was lined up man to man. His man went in motion. He went across the formation with him. Nice stop by the Streaks there for a 2 yard loss.
Yeah, Xavier Van Dyke in on that. Xavier Van Dyke has proven to be, you know, one of the Streaks' top defenders on the defensive line. Ran right into him on that play.
William Taylor brings the play in from the sideline, splits out wide to the right along with Jaden Winzerl. Rolling that direction, the quarterback Weller will keep it. Spins through one tackle, crosses the 35, stops short of the 40. He'll be 2 yards short of the first down marker. It'll bring up third and two on the quarterback keeper.
And that's one problem with man coverage. Yep. is they're going to send their receivers down the field, and our guys have to go with them, right? So when you get to the edge, it takes a while for our defensive backs to break out of their coverage and go up and be run support. You got to live with it.
Yeah,
right?
you have to get off the ball. If you're a receiver here and you're man coverage and you know it's a run play, you've got to get off the ball, make that corner respect you, get him 15 yards downfield, and hopefully you take him out of the play.
Streaks with a five-man front, third and two here from the Geneseo 39-yard line. First possession for the Maple Leafs in a scoreless game. The snap, the handoff, the read, and the tackle on Welke as the Streaks went bursting through for an immediate stop. John Willis, a loss of a yard, brings up fourth and three, and Geneseo sends out the punt unit.
Yeah, great defensive series there for the Streaks.
One of my favorite guys on defense, 5'7", 170, playing middle linebacker in the Big Six. Comes through, makes a huge tackle there, nice sack, tackle for loss. Here the Leafs are lined up to punt the ball away.
And starting offensive guard.
Oh, yeah.
Both ways. Undersized at both positions.
Yep.
How about the early statement by the Streaks defense? Coach Larry Johnson of the Maple Leafs talked about how he's been impressed at how Galesburg defends the run, and they stop their leading running back on the season for two negative plays and a third down stop, and the punt, the Streaks will let it fall and roll to the 20-yard line. So both teams are three and out on the opening possession. 7:03 to go here in the opening quarter. All right. Anything you change up here? Now you've got Gino with the series under his belt, three plays and out, so really didn't move the ball, but at least hopefully you got a little bit of the jitters out.
Gino's going to keep here soon.
Right. You saw a jet sweep.
I wondered about that.
You saw a jet sweep. You saw a broken counter. And then you saw kind of a little swing pass, and that's really all. Like, I know there's obviously more in the game plan here. It's still single back with Cam behind Gino at this point.
From the 20-yard line where this drive starts, Richardson goes in motion.
They go
misdirection. Yep. Cam to the outside, and a good tackle chased him down from the side. Stopped short of the 20-yard line. Looked like Cam might get a little bit more, maybe even the first down, but he's tackled and run out of bounds at the 24 for a gain of four.
And keep an eye on that too, Sean. There looks like there's a little boot play that can come off of that counter. Gino boots out to the right without the football that time, so he can run that counter action and boot to the right side and either run it or hopefully hit somebody out there in the flat.
Were you able to see who we pulled for that counter action, or was it just misdirection?
Just misdirection there.
Marcus Lewis, the single wide out to the right. Mikey Eicher to the left. Amari goes in motion, gets the handoff, sweep to the outside, trying to get to the corner, does, and pushed out of bounds, had to get to the 30. He's short of that, but it'll be third and short for the Silver Streaks, just short of the 30.
Still probing the edges right now with every offensive possession, probing the edges. Everything we've done has been off tackle, and as far wide as we can get. Getting our athletes out there, that is obviously the game plan early on.
Yeah, we pulled out there. I would like to see him cut up sooner. He had that pulling guard coming around to follow up in there. But still, nice read. Got outside, picked up extra yards.
You might see triple option right here, guys. So Cam is going to be lined up next to Gino with Amari behind.
Third and one Streaks from the 29.
There it
play
is.
Fake. Now the toss to the outside, trying to get to the outside.
First down.
The Streaks do convert the first down with Richardson. Patient run, but he gets across the 30 just in front of the Geneseo sideline. And the tackle made it about the 33 for a first down.
You know, Geneseo did right there exactly what I would tell my players to do, hit the quarterback. Gino had to get rid of that ball very quickly. We had penetration in there. He had to pitch that. When you pitch that, now your guys can go and play because they know where the ball is. There's no longer this, is it going to be this guy or that guy? You hit the quarterback. You make sure he gets rid of it. Now you go get the guy with the ball.
Sean Hickey coaching the Chiefs defense last night, hitting the quarterback and knocking him out, that strategy. All right.
Don't do that to our guy.
Today. No.
New set of downs for the Streaks from the 33-yard line. Play fake. Geno will toss to the left. Amari trying to get to the outside with a lead block from Eichert. Gets to the edge and a big hit, knocking Richardson out of bounds across the 40 at about the 42. Amari pops right up. Good lead block from Eichert to give Amari a little bit more room to run. And we're going to have a measurement. Or is the...
I think we got a broken
Oh, we
stick.
Got a player yeah, we just tangled up in the chains. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
You're right. The stick, I think, is broken.
I was trying to see what was going on with the stick down
they
there.
Are. The stick is broken. They're trying to put that together right now.
We have some duct tape up here if you need it.
We may need to get a...
Be happy to.
May need to give Joe Nichols a call here. I see him. He's going off the AD from Geneseo, going off to get the backup sticks. Something so simple, guys, but you can't run a game if you don't have sticks. They're gonna have to hold this thing up and not let them go, I'm assuming.
From the 42 after a gain of 9. So back-to-back option tosses for the Silver Streaks to set up second and one here. And now we're going to have a
timeout. Yeah, they're
going
to hold this up.
Yep. Seems kind of silly, but...
I know, it's a little thing, but it's... It is something that needs to be in the needs to be out there for them. They got to be able to stretch that to the 10 yards. There is no, you know, there's no line like you watch on TV out here. The sticks are it.
Yeah, and it matters because if you get a first down, if you're not out of bounds, the clock stops and you reset it. It's hard. The officials can't judge that if they can't see the stick.
Right.
Well, the stick's black. We do have black duct tape up here, so we, you know, it would stick with the swarthy theme. They'd never even know that it was on there.
There you go.
So, yeah, they're going to send both teams to the sidelines while we get this repaired. So everybody's relegated to an unforced but welcome timeout. And a scoreless game so far, just past the midpoint of quarter number one, 5:38 to go here in this first quarter. Freshman-sophomore game, Geneseo won 16-14.
Here comes the new chains. Mr. Nichols trying to briskly walk them out here.
Yeah, yep.
Coming out of the equipment shed. You know, how many high school programs have backup chains stored?
I wondered about that.
We do.
I know we do. Yeah, I know we do. You don't usually get rid of the old ones when you get new ones because they're probably still in decent shape. But, yeah, anybody that watches this game now knows the importance and value of doing that.
Well, just Streaks just starting to get a little bit of momentum there. Had a nice drive going. You sure hope that this delay of the game doesn't sap some of that and give Geneseo a chance to settle its defense down. That's the downside of all this. I really liked how the Streaks were moving the ball on this possession.
Yeah, and it's been triple option twice in a row. All right, once to the boundary where we get some good gains, and then we go this one to the field. I love it to the field. Problem with running triple to the field is that's usually where there are more defenders as well. The wide side of the field is what I'm talking about. No give yet, and I'm not sure it's true triple. We'll see.
I feel like it's speed.
Yeah, we'll see if the give is actually in the mix. Right now, the mesh of the give doesn't even look to me like he's too interested in giving the football. Right now, it's going to be Geno and Amari just kind of playing a two-man game. But we know Cam McGuire is an effective runner, so I'd like to see him get a chance to kind of pound in between the tackles, which is something the Streaks have not shown yet.
And like I said, with both of those, the pitch had to be quick because there's a guy right there. You know, he rides off the give fake, and he's got to get rid of it.
They're pitching off the last man on the line of scrimmage, so that pitch is going to be quick unless that last man comes down on the dive back. But until we show the dive back, Sean, that guy on the end is not going
to
do that.
He's going to go right to the quarterback.
Always to the quarterback.
So we'll reset the situation here. It'll be second and one Silver Streaks from the 42-yard line after a 9-yard game on that option pitch. And we're kind of blocked here. Everything looks to be set. I think we are ready to go here now. So the Streaks line it up. Tight end right. Two running backs. Single wide out to the right. On the ground to McGuire. Pushes forward. Gets the first down. Still on his feet. Moving the pile across the 45. Close to the 47-yard line. McGuire had the first down. Was held up. But he kept the legs pumping. And picks up a good 3 more yards after the initial stop and just kept firing it forward.
That helps, too, when you get your big lineman coming to push that. I mean, when you have Hargers coming in there at 330 pounds, that's a nice push you got to have. So, you know, hats off to the lineman, too. One for making a hole and two coming back and pushing that pile.
We had a feeling this game was going to be won at the line of scrimmage more so than others. There's a high snap deflected over to Richardson, rolling right, backwards, now under pressure by two defenders, and Sand taken down back at the 35-yard line for a loss of 12. A high snap went through Gino's hands. It went right to Richardson, who went behind Williams to bring down that snap. And then Amari just tried to get to the outside to try to create some room, but he'll lose 12.
Yeah, that's effectively just as bad as a penalty on first down. That gets you in first and 22 here. Second down and 22.
Yeah,
so it's worse than a penalty
because
you lose the down.
Right.
And, you know, effectively two plays to try to put 22 yards. You don't have to get it all here. Try to find a way to get back in the sticks if you can.
High formation lined up left of Gino, who tosses to Aguirre, trying to get to the edge. Now cuts up field, but gains only a yard, maybe two, as he's stopped immediately at about the 37. And now it'll bring up third and 20.
So Coach Backwell has a decision here, like how much, you know, how aggressive in a third and 20 situation do you want to be? It's an obvious pass situation. You know, you got a screenplay maybe or a draw. I would look to just try to not make a major mistake here, punt the ball, try to flip the field, and just kind of live to play another day. But you also got Mikey Eicher out there by himself. So that's always a good option.
Gino completed 3 of 5 passes when he came in relief penalty in the second half, and now there's a motion penalty against the Silver Streaks. One of the three passes he did complete, it was a rope that he threw.
Yep.
So when he has time and can get himself planted, he can fire it. So there's the 5-yard penalty indicated. First of the game against the Silver Streaks. Now it takes it back to third and 25, back to their own 32.
So here again, Jake, back to your point of how aggressive do you get? Because if we incomplete this, or we don't get any yardage, we're punting into the wind.
Yep.
It'll be Eicher. Single wide out to the right. Richardson goes in motion. Play fake. Now a draw play as Williams steps up, trying to sprint to the outside. Flag comes down in the middle of the field as Gino gets pushed out of bounds at about the 37-yard line.
That's going to be a holding penalty on the Streaks that Geneseo will decline.
Yep.
And it'll bring up fourth down.
Yeah, because that 5 yards, you're still going to get good field position with the punt coming.
They'll decline it and get the, yeah, they did. And here comes the punting unit for Galesburg.
Again, the possibility is, do you take the 10-yard penalty, move the Streaks back inside the 25-yard line,
play it again
from somewhere in the vicinity of third and 35, but it was such a short gain. It's still going to be fourth and 19 here, and the Maple Leafs stand to probably get pretty good field position regardless. So pressure here on Satiski to get a good one away. Geneseo puts on some rush. He does get a good boot. It knifes to the wind, then takes a Galesburg bounce twice, and then settles at the 20-yard line where the Maple Leafs will take over. 3:06 to go. And about best-case scenario for the Silver Streaks after that drive died quickly after the chains were repaired.
Well, one of the things Sam was able to do with that was to get a nice spiral off his foot, and then at its apex get it to turn over. And when you have that, that cuts through the wind. So we have a nice punt there, good bounce. Looks like Geneseo, Jake, would you say they had a block on there?
I don't know if there was a block. There was good pressure on both the punts. They might have sent one up the middle. There was some block. So I thought
that. Because their return man wanted no part. Yeah, he wasn't interested at all.
And I thought he had a chance to.
Yeah, I agree.
Weller lines up in the pistol. Again, Helke, the running back, to his right. Man in motion running right to left is Winzerl. They go that direction for a short gain just across the 20. Stop made pretty quickly at about the 21.
Carter Clary in on that. Xavier Van Dyke again as well. The tackle was a little high, kind of clotheslined him a little bit there. The Helke is the feature back in this offense. He is the guy who's going to get the most of the carries. Looking at their stats, he has the bulk of their touchdowns. And right now, the Silver Streaks doing a good job in containing him.
Yeah, on the season, he has 49 carries for 289 yards. So that's the guy that they're going to go to. So far, so good for our Streaks in containing him.
4 running plays for Geneseo. 2 have been for negative yardage. And now whistles before Geneseo can come set, and we've got a timeout. So we'll take a timeout as well. 2:24 to play here in the opening quarter. Maple Leafs call timeout in a scoreless game. It'll be 2nd and 9 when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football and WGIL is brought to you in part by Templeton Roofing, Galesburg and the surrounding area's oldest and most trusted residential and commercial roofing contractor. And by Go Van Goes, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
Need a J-O-B ASAP? Head to Galesburg.info for the latest in local business listings. You don't have to scroll through endless job searches only to find openings 50 miles away. Find jobs available right here, right now at Galesburg.info, keyword jobs.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Scoreless game at Geneseo, 2:24 to go here in the opening quarter. Silver Streaks have had the ball twice. Geneseo on its second offensive possession of the night, facing 2nd and 9. So I was just commenting how they've run the ball four times. Two went for negative yardage. That last one went for a gain of only a yard. And I wonder if that has something to do with the Larry Johnson timeout there. Man in motion, William Taylor. Again, running left, the play goes left, and another good stop by the Silver Streaks as they try to string it out, force it to the outside, but a short gain again on 2nd down. And depending on exactly where they spot the ball, they're going to put it right at a gain of a yard, so 3rd and 8, and the Streaks defense holding tight and a chance for a big 3rd down stop here.
You know, we can't call Nolan Carl's name on that play, but what he did was he had a triple team. If you're going to take 3 offensive players and require them to block you with 3, that's going to free up your defensive linebackers to go play.
Look for play action here, Sean.
Yeah.
Or just straight drop back.
Movement. Ooh,
that's movement.
Got it.
Yep.
All right.
There's a 5-yard penalty.
And Jake, you know as well as I do, when your running back does that, you tell him, just keep going.
Right. Make it look like supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Be as nonchalant as you can.
Fake it till you make it. And.
But Geneseo's got a one-on-one, number 84, out here over Marcus Lewis, and he is a foot and a half taller than Marcus, and we are man up. We are not in this 3rd and long situation looking like we're changing anything. No safeties deep. We're just going to count on our athletes to be better than theirs right now.
That's Calvin Pettit, 6'2", 185. Rolling right, looking that direction. Weller. Now he's going to keep it. Tackled from behind at the 20-yard line.
John Willis.
Willis chases him down for a loss of 2, and good coverage downfield as well, as Weller was looking to throw, had to make the decision about whether to hang on to it and run with it or not, and before he could make that decision, Willis cut him down. It'll be 4th and 10 and another punt.
Yeah, he didn't really commit to the pass very long. He definitely, if he'd have waited a little bit, had some guys with some openings, but the Streaks pressure just forced him into that run.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Sibley camping under it. Then it goes over his head at the 30. Now takes a Geneseo roll, then goes sideways at the 25-yard line where the Streaks will have it with 49 seconds to go in the opening quarter.
That's the best punt I've seen.
I was about to say the same thing. That is the best punt I've seen in years. He's a left-footed punter, and that was the most hang time with the distance with it. And it looked like Sibley just kind of abandoned ship at the end. He just, I'm just going to let this go. Smart decision. If you're not comfortable, let it go. You're going to get the football regardless.
Yeah, I think he misplayed it. I think the wind at last second carried that ball a little further than he expected.
I thought so too, yeah.
And then I think, like Jake said, he made a good decision just saying, well, we'll let this one go. Bring the offense out.
And it took a Geneseo bounce deeper, but then checked up and went sideways. So even the yardage after the drop didn't really hurt the Silver Streaks too much. So they'll start this drive from their own 26-yard line. Less than 50 seconds to go in a scoreless first quarter. 3rd offensive possession for the Streaks. Back to pass. Straight drop for Gino. Goes right. Now flushed out of the pocket left. Looking. Throws against his body. Cam McGuire open. Mix it. Man miss at the 30. 40. Tackled. Chased down from behind at the 45-yard line. He'll be down at the 46 for a gain of 20 on first down. Made that man miss initially after the catch just across the 30, and then Cam with a big gain to move the chains near midfield.
And that's where it's dangerous, because if you're a defense and you're in man coverage or zone coverage and you get a quarterback out of the pocket like that and starts pointing to the receivers just find a spot where no one else is. and those defenders can't find him because they're just settling down somewhere, and you just dump it off to him. So Geno kept that play alive, kept his feet moving, directed Cam to an open spot, and got the first down.
Second completion of the game to Aguirre for 25 yards total on the game. They'll go on the ground to Cam, and then grabbed from behind as he crosses the 45 in the first line of, in the line of scrimmage, and then brought down for what looked like it could go for something, but good tackle made right at the line of scrimmage, a gain of one.
Yeah, they vacated the center there. They brought a blitz in the middle, and hit, the blitz came to the offensive left, and we ran it to the right. So if we break that one tackle, we're going to be looking at 20-yard gains or more.
End of the first quarter, scoreless between the Streaks and the Maple Leafs. Streaks face second down near midfield when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A warm home on a cold night makes you feel safe, content, and fortunate. So let me ask, is it worth $69 to know you'll have a winter full of warm and cozy evenings? Hi, I'm Autumn Cantorini with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. One of the best ways to keep your energy bills low and lower the risk of extensive repairs down the road is to get your heating system cleaned and tuned every year. At Neil Thomas, we'll do that for just $69. And if we find you need a repair, we'll give you a 10% discount on it. Give us a call at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, 342 Heat.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
At Geneseo, scoreless game between the Streaks and the Maple Leafs in the second game of the Western Big Six Conference. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey from the visitor side press box. Jake Miller down on the sideline on a gorgeous fall evening. A little bit of wind from the south, just enough to keep the fans cool. Good contingent for Galesburg traveling up here. Watch the freshman-sophomore combined team fall in a tough game, 16-14. A mostly packed Geneseo home stand and lots of folks around the perimeter sitting around behind the fences in their lawn chairs enjoying a beautiful evening and a well-played football game so far. It's tight, scoreless, Streaks second and nine as we start the second quarter. Misdirection, miscommunication, and then finally a delay. Cam gets free across the 50 and pushed out of bounds across the Geneseo 45. It'll be close to a first down depending on the spot. It was ugly in the backfield, but Aguirre made him pay.
Jake, I'm telling you, that's close to chicken wing.
It's not supposed to be, though, is what I'm telling you. Is I don't know if Cam's supposed to cut in front of Geno or if Geno's supposed to hand it off on the outside, which is what that ended up being. But there's been confusion on that counterplay, and that was just Cam doing what Cam does, which is creating, and it works out.
And we call it chicken wing because Quincy used to do that. It's just the running back would squat down and stick his arm out, and the quarterback would slip behind him and give it to him.
Aguirre up the middle. Looks like he got the first down before he's grabbed and spun down. They gave him a gain of 7 on the previous play, so from the Geneseo 46-yard line, it was 3rd and 2. And Aguirre, forward progress to the Geneseo 43 and a first down.
I like showing the give on this triple, guys, and it's excited for a guy like me to watch triple option again here at Galesburg. And that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing the give, and that give is going to pop Geno later. And we still haven't seen that phase of the option, which is the quarterback keep, which we know can be dangerous with him back there.
Streaks taking advantage of 3rd and short on a couple of times tonight. So 2 for 4 on 3rd down conversions, which is good to see early in the game. Scoreless, not quite a minute into the second quarter. Streaks on the move at the Geneseo 43-yard line. Out of the pistol, Williams rolling right. Is he going to keep it? Got a lead blocker from Aguirre. Gets to the outside, runs into the tackle across the 40 to the 38-yard line. And a good gain on first down of about 5.
Trying to find a way to get numbers. They had to run to the field there. I like that play better to the boundary, but we get Geno out there in space, and when he's the runner, you can use the running back as a lead blocker. So it just adds to the offensive advantage for the Silver Streaks on the edge.
Yeah, what's similar, like if people are familiar, like a student body right.
That's what
Where you bring everybody to one side and you give it to the running back. Well, in this case, the quarterback's keeping it, and you get the running back to block. You bring a motion tight end over to block. You get everybody on one side.
And, of course, you got big Trayson Harges lined up there on that right tackle spot as well to help create some space as well. Fake handoff to Aguirre. Geno on the keeper. Bounces to the outside. Tripped up across the 30 for a first down. And somebody reached out and got him at the ankles. Geneseo player on the field, slow to get up. And Williams moves the chains for the Silver Streaks, and we'll have a stoppage of play with 10:18 to go in the first half to 10 to the injured Maple Leaf.
Sean, I don't know if you have access to the replay on that or not. If It looked to me like quarterback trap, but I couldn't tell if a lineman pulled to lead the way. But that was, I think, a design run for Geno the entire time.
Yeah, either way, it was inside. I don't have the device with me. I haven't been able to hook up to the feed this year. But, yeah, it was an inside run designed for the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they trapped it, I don't know. I mean, I would think in this situation and what we're looking for, they probably would trap that for a quarterback trap. But nice to see us, like you said, to give. You know, like on a triple, you want to give. You can't just do everything outside, so you give to let them know that we can run it inside. And then you bring the quarterback here on an inside run, perhaps a trap, to let them know, too, that we're going to run inside with the quarterback.
Injured player is defensive lineman Jordan Melkert, 6 foot, 220 pound senior, holding the middle of his back. Got his left arm wrapped around behind him, right in the middle of his back, holding that spot. But he walks off under his own power. Streaks of the first down after a gain of 8 on the run from Geno Williams. And the Streaks have moved it down to the Geneseo 29-yard line. 10:18 to go before halftime. Scoreless game through the first quarter plus here at Bob Reed Field. For the Streaks, Nick Curtis lined up right. Streaks keep it on the ground for a short gain.
They're saying ball's on the ground, and Geneseo recovered.
Oh, didn't see my. That at all.
I didn't see it either.
I did not either.
But I saw the beanbag come down, so.
So four turnovers by the Silver Streaks last week. A fumbled punt, two fumbles on running plays and an interception, and they lose a fumble here again at the 27-yard line, and it kills a Galesburg drive.
Yeah, no argument from the coaching staff. That ball must have been out. It just kind of came out in a spot none of us really saw. But down here on the field, obviously it was a clear recovery by Geneseo.
Yeah, and to go with the last drive that we had, which was killed by a penalty. Actually, it was a bad snap is what it was.
The bad snap, yeah. So first down, Geneseo will go on the ground. The defense has to hold tight, crossing the 30-yard line. Close to the 32 on the run by Connor Helke. It's tangled up a little bit with the Streaks on the ground and now slow to get up.
Slow to get up in a drive, and the last drive, wasn't he, Sean? I think I saw him come out for a play, come back in. So Helke, their main ball carrier right now on the ground, is kind of the story here for Geneseo.
Yeah, he got rolled up in this play, particularly right here. He got rolled up from behind as he was getting hit high from the other side. So his leg was caught underneath, and he got curled back on that.
Thinking about offensively right now, we have only really stopped ourselves in the last couple of drives.
Correct.
And we're finding, kind of surprisingly, we're finding more success in between the tackles than we are out on the edges. We've kind of seen a shift from the Silver Streaks here. We've seen Geno up the middle. We've seen Cam up the middle. Gone away from that fly jet sweep that we were trying in the first possession. Right now, finding some success that way.
Helke is up. We were shielded by some players in between us and kind of blocking our view. It looked like they were tending to the lower part of his right leg. Jake, could you see ankle or just below the knee, was it?
He is limping on the right ankle right now. He is not limping in the way Tristan was limping last week. So hopefully, you know, for Geneseo, hopefully he's okay and is able to come back in. Right now the Streak's doing a kind of a bang-up job on him as their lead rusher.
Jaron Neal will line up as the tailback behind quarterback A.J. Weller. They'll send two wideouts to the left, tight end right, and Weller out of the pistol. On second and 6, handoff to the right side. They go to that man who just came in, Jaron Neal, with a good run, close to the first down by the time he's dropped, and he is a first down up to the 40-yard line on a gain of 8. So a real change in style of running back, going from Helke at 5'9", 200, to a more upright Jaron Neal at 6'2", 170. And he gets their biggest running play of the night for a first down.
Yeah, and before that run coming in the season, Neal had 20 attempts and 443 yards. So he's had a good amount of carries as well. So it looks like that they are ready to move on with the injury, and they have their backup ready to go.
Stacking up two receivers to the left. I formation lined up to the right of Weller. Tight end shift right to left. That's Luke Johnson. Handoff goes left, more up the middle now with a cutback to the 45 where the stop is made. And it's Neal again for a gain of 5. As we wind under 9 minutes to go here in a scoreless first half in the second quarter.
So we see them line up two guys bunched up to the outside. All they're doing is they're moving line or moving defenders out because they know we're manned up. And let's put two guys outside by the numbers, clear them out, see if we can create something on the inside. Here they are stacked up again, two receivers to the left.
Similar formation, yep. And again, the tight end shifts from right to left.
And we're not adjusting
Johnson.
To that.
Play fake to Neal. This time the quarterback up the middle. Why. Weller breaks free into the secondary. It's a chase, and the streaks aren't going to catch him. 55-yard touchdown run. Geneseo takes advantage of the Galesburg turnover and turns it into the first score of the night.
Yeah, when you bring that tight end over, Jake, we have to adjust to that because they've just gotten a number advantage on us, and we kept our linemen and linebackers in the same spot.
Just got to reduce down, Sean, is what you're talking about. Maybe slide our defensive line down a gap towards the strength?
If not our line, our linebackers.
Okay.
Move over one man or one gap, basically.
Geneseo doing what it needs to do. When you get an opportunity like that, the streak's on their best drive of the night, and they fumble it, they put it away. Put it on the ground. Geneseo capitalizing and scoring. That's a difference in what's been a well-played ball game so far by both teams.
Officials conference at the 10-yard line, which is delaying Geneseo from setting up for the extra point here.
I'm not sure what this...
And now they're walking toward the Geneseo sideline.
With the football. We have a deflate gate issue going on here, gentlemen. You don't normally see the officiating crew go to the side with the football.
Pine tar? They've handed it to somebody on the Geneseo sideline over there. There is another football in the hands of the referee.
Is it maybe
still
the ball that the kicker wants? Usually you just do that on a kickoff, not on the PAT. You know, those kickers can be a quirky group. Well, it looks like the overall edict here is going to be we're switching balls and moving on.
Yep.
Braden Possen is the kicker, 5'8", 175. He's a senior. I think we're ready to go now. Weller, the quarterback, on the hold. The snap is good. The ball is down. The kick is up. Fading to the right.
Yep.
And it's to the right of the goalpost. No good. Score remains 6-0. Geneseo with 8:17 to go in the opening half. Cardinals Reds tied at 1 at the end of 3. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg.
Standing at the end of the driveway, surveying the cracks, you imagine how much nicer your house would look with a new concrete driveway. For any and all jobs involving concrete, consult the experts at Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next concrete project.
The latest headlines and hot topics with fun, entertaining conversations. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Weekdays 11 to 2 on WGIL.
Four-play scoring drive from Geneseo. Minute 46 off the clock to drive it 73 yards. 55-yard touchdown run by quarterback A.J. Weller. Amari Richardson deep along with Marcus Lewis. A line drive kick up the middle. Taken on a bounce by Lewis at the 16-yard line. Up the middle, finds a hole. Then the hole closes across the 35 at about the 39-yard line, where two green jersey Geneseo Maple Leafs converged on Lewis. Good run back, though. Good starting position for the Streaks at the 39. 8:11 to go here in the opening half. By and large, the Streaks have controlled the line of scrimmage offensively. Don't have any points to show for it. Fumble on the last possession. Streaks have fumbled the ball three times in this game already now, losing that one on the last possession. Geneseo turned it into points. 8:11 to go. Let's see if the Streaks can get some momentum back here. Good starting position, right hash mark of the 39-yard line. The hash mark nearest to the Galesburg sideline. Xavier Van Dyke lines up tight end right. Gino rolls that direction. He's going to hang on to it. Crosses the 40. Skips past a man. Gets to the 45. And then pulled forward across the 45 out of bounds. They're actually going to spot it right on the 45-yard line. Good gain on first down of 6.
Motion strength to the boundary, and then it's just a quarterback run to the boundary as well. The Silver Streaks had the advantage in numbers. The only problem with the boundary is that the boundary becomes an extra defender, too, for Geneseo. So just kind of running out of space. But a decent start. They really spotted him back further than I thought. I thought he had a little bit more than that, but that's a good first down run.
But the interesting thing about the spot is they wound the clock. So, like, he was in bounds.
Said he was stopped forward in bounds, maybe?
Yeah.
Mikey Eicher brings the play in from the sideline, then splits wide out to the left. Van Dyke goes in motion, lining up tight end left, and the Streaks call timeout with 7:19 to play in this opening half. Well, we mentioned that it is homecoming here at Geneseo this week, along with Hall of Fame ceremonies going on tonight. I think we're going to talk a little homecoming at halftime, too, are we not, Sean?
Yeah, next week is our homecoming game we're going to have at Van Dyke Field against the Quincy Blue Devils. Come out and cheer on the Streaks. But next week is the homecoming week that is going to be sponsored by Student Council. So this week's spotlight, I have the sponsor for Student Council, Miss Tammy Qualls, going to be interviewing her and talking about what the week will look like, what's happening on Monday, what's happening on Tuesday, what students should be doing for dress-ups and the Powder Puff football game to the parade on Friday and of course the football game and the halftime show by the band and the performance by everybody there, and then the dance itself is going to be taking place this Saturday, and the theme overall for that is a disco week theme. So we see a lot of that with the each day and what's happening. So tune in, listen to the events that will be coming up next week for Galesburg High School homecoming.
Sean, I hear there's going to be a really cute little girl that's the crown bearer during all those festivities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
We'll just leave that for a surprise, but I hear she's gorgeous.
Wouldn't happen to be any connections there.
Possibly.
As coming out of the timeout, Aguirre with a sweep to the left. Stays on his feet as he got hit initially. Falls forward.
Pretty close.
He's going to be close to the line of scrimmage, short of the 50-yard line.
Looks like they marked him short.
They are marking him
see
short.
See where the knee was down. The ball's going to be spotted just short of the 49. That's going to be less than a foot. Well, maybe about a foot. So a gain of 3 officially. Boo birds are out on the Galesburg sideline,
yeah,
thinking
like
it was
spot.
A bad stop. It's a bad spot. I think it was probably about right from our vantage point. Third and short for the Silver Streaks. They've been good on third and short situations in this game so far. 2 for 4 overall. With third and a foot to go here near midfield. Trailing 6-0. Play fake. Gino waits.
Got
moves.
It.
Crosses the 50 for a first down. It'll be down at the Geneseo 49.
It seemed like Jake, he was reading. That wasn't a designed keep.
I don't know.
He looked like he was reading something and then just took off.
It was just kind of double option. I don't think he ever had intention to pitch the ball, but the pitchback was there it was triple option, which is the best short yardage play you can call. You got 3 different options that you can choose. I think he was designed in his head he was going to make that play, and he got it done.
Yep.
We're approaching the halfway point of the second quarter. 6-0 Geneseo. Streaks have just crossed into Maple Leafs territory for a first down. Marcus Lewis, the wide out to the right. Amari Richardson goes in motion. Fake handoff, back to pass. Now Gino steps up in the pocket,
flushed out.
Ball came loose. And I think Gino was able to reach out and grab it right back. As somebody got in, stripped it out of his hands. It'll be second down Streaks and a loss of
5. Yeah. Now that one, I did see the ball come out, but I also heard a whistle.
Well, Streaks back in their own territory, halfway between the 46 and 47-yard line. On a tackle for loss on quarterback Gino Williams, as the Maple Leafs defense certainly read that very well, as they were in the backfield with Gino trying to step up in the pocket for a pass play. Now he'll straight drop here. Here comes the rush, screens it away, deflected
nice
by Aguirre.
Play.
He hangs on to it. Now first down at the 40, down to the Geneseo 35-yard line. The toss was a little bit high. Cam went up for it, got a hand on it, was able to bat it down to himself. And then as he came down, his knee went down, but he was able to keep it from touching the turf. And then he advances it for a first down to the 35.
Unfortunately, I mean, Nolan Carl was there for a lead block, but when he saw the ball tipped, he went to kind of go back for that, and that cut back in one of our blockers for him. But he still had a nice game after the completion.
Picks up 19 overall. Geno's 3-for-3 passing, all three completions to Cam McGuire out of the streak's backfield. Back in Geneseo territory, first down from the 35. Hand off to McGuire, nice hole to the left, but then it closes quickly on the pursuit by Geneseo, which forces him left for a gain of two.
Down That's okay.
33.
Keep showing that, right? There's no wrong reads in the triple options. There's just sometimes better ones, and that would have been a better keep for Geno there. But handing the ball off to Cam is never a bad thing to do, right? You can't be wrong doing that.
I liked the hole at the line they created.
Yeah, it was a nice hole. The linebacker filled it quickly. Nice play by their linebacker.
And the hole wasn't designed. It wasn't where it was designed to be. The hole was on the backside, so Cam makes a nice cut. And that's the one advantage of running triple out of the gun is the running back gets some time.
In motion, Richardson. Back to pass. Geno off his back foot into double coverage.
Yeah,
contact and a pass interference as Mikey was double covered down inside the 10-yard line. And there was contact all over the place, and the Streaks will gain 15 more on the penalty. Mikey just got bumped around and practically pulled down. That's going to take the ball down inside the Geneseo 20.
I was surprised to see more than one defender back there, so they're still running that kind of free safety look against the Silver Streaks. I figured they'd switch to man at this point with as run heavy as we've been. But Mikey was able to get behind and then able to kind of create that pass interference on his own just by being open.
Well, the coaches talked about in the pregame, they're very happy they're stuck in their zone. One of the things that I was worried about with that throw was how long the ball was in the air. That allowed that free safety an opportunity to get over the top of that. But as it was, the corner himself had too much contact with him.
Moves the ball down inside the Geneseo 20 to the 18-yard line. 3:55 to go here in the first half. Maple Leafs leading 6-0 on a 55-yard touchdown run from quarterback A.J. Weller after the Streaks had moved it down inside the Geneseo 30 on the previous possession and then fumbled it away. Geneseo turned it into points 4 points later, 4 plays later. Streaks trying to answer here. Popping left, Williams to the outside, tosses it to Aguirre, gets to the edge, goes for the far sideline. He's down inside the 10-yard line. It'll be a first and goal. Where are they going to spot him out? The official
on this
side.
They're bringing him first down. So it'll be first and goal from the 8, guys.
I'm looking at the official on this side. He was standing right at the marker. So out at the 8, but that's a gain of 10 in first and goal Streaks. I thought it might be closer to the 6. Either way, the Streaks move the chains. And a chance to tie this game up.
A little wrinkle running, kind of running triple option away from the motion, right? They've been running towards motion all night. They run away from the motion there and find the advantage in the numbers on the edge.
One thing I'd like to see, though, Jake, is Geno attack that pitch man, the read option.
Got to go downhill a little bit better.
At the left hash mark, first and goal Streaks from the 8. Short drop, Geno flushed out, rolling right, wrapped up, breaks free of it, gets to the back to the 10, 5,
he's
going
in.
For
he's
the
in.
Corner,
he's in.
Still on his feet, falls into the end zone. How many guys got a hand on Geno Williams and nobody could bring him down?
He broke at least 4 tackles, guys. That was 100% on Geno. That was a design pass play, which surprised me on first and goal. Run the design pass. He scrambles out and finds a way, slithered through guys, and just made it happen, right? He just wanted it more than everybody else out there.
He should have been sacked. I mean,
multiple
that guy
times.
Had him.
Yes.
Yeah, and then,
multiple times.
Well, that's one of the most
that is a highlight run.
Dynamic plays we've seen in a while.
Shoot, I was excited when he broke free and just got back to the 10-yard line. That would have been a loss of 2. And he took it to the house. Satiski's
low
kick
snap.
Is good. And the Streaks take the lead on the extra point, 7-6. 3:11 to go in the opening half. This is Galesburg High School football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
So we'll meet at like 5-ish, eat, and then do some shopping.
So could we go earlier and maybe scrap the shopping?
Yeah, but why?
I really don't want to have to drive at night.
You need to get to Kehoe. You can't let this run your life.
The days are getting shorter, which makes driving at night inevitable. Night blindness can put you at an increased risk for accidents. Let the experts at Kehoe Eye Care figure out the cause of your night blindness so they know exactly how to treat it. Make an appointment at Kehoe Eye Care in Galesburg or Monmouth and start living life after dark again.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just dies.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
9-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. They cover 61 yards in exactly 5 minutes of game time. Geno Williams with the 8-yard touchdown run on one of the most exciting plays we've seen in a while. Geno bouncing, escaping jersey tackles, bumped around like a pinball.
Unbelievable.
And just instinctively working his way to the end zone. How'd you say it, Hick? Just falling over the over the line like he's falling into bed?
Falling to bed. Backward, he just kind of fell in the end zone like he was calling it a night.
Aided by a 15-yard pass interference penalty on the drive against the Maple Leafs. And a Streaks extra point from Sam Satiski gives the Streaks a 7-6 lead.
Stay
and a
in.
Short kick no. to the left side of the field, out of bounds.
Man, I was just getting ready to sing his praises, too, because lost in the shuffle, the excitement of the touchdown is what Sam did on the extra point. That ball was fumbled. Geno gets it back on the tee, and so many times you see a kicker shank that, and he's able to hold his focus and kick that PAT, which puts them up by one. And then I think he has a little mishap here on this one.
And we did talk about that last week, too, because of the injury to Legate. The Streaks had
new holder.
Had to have a new holder with an extra point with a field goal attempt. And then under the pressure of this situation, tying up the game with 3:11 to go in the first half. And then the kickoff goes out of bounds.
So we got some more ball issues going on here.
Yeah, we got some more discussion about the ball, yeah.
Okay. Coach Blackwell's son doing the ball boy duties, as always.
So what is it, like a pitcher? The umpire throws the ball out, and the pitcher looks at it and goes, no, I don't want that one. And
I don't know. I've never seen a ball shifted out of the play like that. It must have been a deflation issue, honestly. Like, I joked about it, but it honestly was an issue where the officials did not think the ball met standards and made him switch.
Could have been a lace.
Yep.
I mean.
Popped lace, sure.
Yep.
So the drive starts from the 38-yard line, and back to Jaron Neal they go with the drive right up the gut. Picks up about 5 on first down to the 43. And Neal is a powerful, quick runner, and they certainly don't lose anything with the injury to Connor Helke 2 possessions ago.
Well, it doesn't seem like it. They obviously do, with Helke getting the bulk of the carries.
Sure.
But right now, what he's doing is he's kind of put a spark into their offense.
So we were scoreless through the first about quarter and a half. Geneseo marched it downfield after Galesburg turnover. Almost an end around here.
That's a double dive.
And up the middle it goes for a good gain on second down as they got the handoff to William Taylor, who crosses Galesburg to the 48-yard line.
So
but
that
the thing is there was no single dive
right.
before.
So it that is a kind of a homage back to the old Geneseo days. It's the double dive route from the slot back. But there is no first dive coming through. You're right. But that is the route he's taking.
If he pulled it, they run option
right.
back from where he came from.
Exactly. That's interesting. I haven't seen that.
So William Taylor picks up 9. First down for Geneseo back in Galesburg territory with the clock winding toward 2 minutes to play in the half. Rolling right, Weller on the keeper, trying to bounce to the outside. Dragged down from behind by Nolan Carl. But he crosses the 45 to about the 44, maybe 43-yard line for a gain of 5 more. And Weller does get out of bounds to stop the clock with a minute 56 to play. 1-point Galesburg lead and Geneseo with 2 timeouts remaining.
And this is kind of a dangerous point, right? Geneseo can get this 2-for-1 going. If they can get down and score here, they do get the ball coming back also after halftime. So it's very important here for the Streaks to hold tight.
Gain of 4, 2nd and 6. Minute 56 to play in the half. Streaks on top, 7-6. And in motion, they'll go up the middle to Neal again. Hit hard at the 40 and stopped immediately. But positive yardage again. He'll pick up 4 more, and it'll bring up 3rd and about 2.
And Geneseo of old, you almost get that feeling, Sean, of this is where they do the play action and go over the top, right? Because they've attempted 1 pass, but the quarterback ran it, so you can't even really call it a pass attempt. Right, they have had no interest really in putting the ball in the air.
Correct.
But I feel like in this spot, with two attempts to get the first down, this might be a chance for them to do it.
0-for-2 on third downs in the game so far. 3rd and 2. Weller back forward now back again and now
timeout.
Whistles. And did Geneseo call timeout?
Oh, I thought so.
I was suspecting that's what it was. The officials are going to confer here.
Jake, you saw what I saw was the running back. Got a little heavy on his toes leaning forward. But that's not why they stopped it here.
Yeah, there's no flag. Galesburg's moving backwards. Where's the flag?
The guy just picked it up over on the 40-yard line on the other side.
Yeah, streaks are moving backwards. Well, so that's going to give Geneseo a first down on the streaks penalty.
The white hat was on the other side of the huddle. I couldn't see him.
I'm getting what the call is, guys. Since Geneseo runs their snap count on a clap, a hand clap by the quarterback, Silver Streaks defenders apparently were clapping to try to simulate the snap. And so they called an unsportsmanlike penalty on the Silver Streaks for that.
Just a five-yarder.
Play
fake, rolling right. Weller avoids one tackle, crosses far side of the field, first down and more, dragged down inside the 20-yard line. Now churning out yardage here with still a minute to go before a halftime. Geneseo down one, but taking it into the Galesburg red zone after the penalty gave him a first down. And now another first down to the 18 on the quarterback run.
Yeah, the fans here in front of me were asking for a hold. I saw the same thing. Carter Clary came through, could not get to the outside because the guy had a clip through him. Unfortunately, they didn't call it.
To the Galesburg 18-yard line. Weller again to the right and then stopped at the ankles and taken down immediately. And there he is again, making the stop, John Willis. And Geneseo will use one of its two remaining timeouts to stop the clock with 43 seconds to go after no gain on first down. Second and 10 from the 18 coming up.
Jake, in the pregame, did you get an idea of what their place kicker?
They're not in range.
He missed the PAT.
Yeah, the PAT is about the range. So I was watching that in pregame, and their kicker is it doesn't look to be that would be something they'd be very confident in, especially from this distance. They'd need to get pretty close.
With the wind in your face, with a little crosswind too.
Yeah.
That's going left to right.
Yeah.
Again, coming up at halftime in our spotlight interview, what's happening at Galesburg Junior Senior High School. We'll find out about homecoming next week with student council advisor Tammy Qualls and G.J. SHS.
There you go.
I'll get it yet. Principal Tom Hawkins reviewing the week past and the week upcoming on the campus. 43 seconds away from that, Geneseo driving, second and 10 at the Galesburg 18-yard line. Streaks leading 7-6. The Maple Leafs trying to regain the lead here with one timeout remaining. And as Jake indicated not long ago, no pass attempts in this game yet for the Maple Leafs. It's been all on the ground. Tight end shifts right, lines up left. The snap.
Quarterback.
Quarterback again of the keeper. A hesitation. Gets to the 15. Bounced. Taken down. Two more yards to the 13. And it'll be third and five.
They're
no timeout called yet.
They're going to have to think about putting this thing in the air right here. Unless they have more confidence in their kicker than what I saw in pregame.
Weller is shifty. We've certainly seen him break off the long run earlier of 55. This is third and five.
Here's the pass.
Here's the pass play. Going to the corner and the back of the end zone caught. Inbounds. Stayed. William Taylor. And the numbers, or the ball thrown right into the numbers as he broke free of the streaks. Cornerback heading toward the back of the end zone.
Jake, what'd you see?
I thought he bobbled it. Before he got a foot down, I thought there was some bobble, but it would have. There's just no way to check that where the officials have to be on that. They ran a wheel route out of the backfield, so I thought there was a little bobble and he didn't have it. But what a great play! The ball was perfectly on the numbers.
Yes, it was. It was a very well thrown ball.
I would assume Geneseo calling this timeout to set up a two-point conversion
play. They have one remaining with 8 seconds to go, so why not use it?
Yep. Can't take it with you. They're going to set up their best two-point play here. And the coverage wasn't terrible. It's just that Marcus wasn't able to get his head around and look for that football, and the football was in the perfect spot.
Well, and Taylor had nice separation at the end, too. It was man-to-man coverage. They were step-for-step with each other. And then as the ball headed his direction, Taylor just broke free for a step and a half, and that was enough to get clearance.
Yep, that's all it takes.
Right into the numbers.
If this was the NFL, they would be reviewing that play, and I think they would see a bobble. But otherwise, it was a fantastic play. I said they were going to have to think about going up top, and they did, right? So one pass play with one touchdown reception as the result.
8 plays, 62 yards, 2 minutes, 57 seconds, or rather 3 minutes and 3 seconds off the clock. With 8 seconds remaining in the half, leading 12-7 now, Geneseo lined up to go for 2. Weller with Neal behind him. He'll throw to the right to Johnson, the tight end, for the 2-point conversion. And that is a rare 2-point conversion against the Silver Streaks, but it gives Geneseo a 14-7 lead with 8 seconds remaining in the half.
Just a straight arrow route to the tight end. Just didn't step, release. He went straight to the corner. His release was just a straight arrow to the sideline, and they hit him. Really, nobody was around him. I don't know who would have been man-to-man with him. I mean, it would have been somebody in the secondary. Guy probably 8 yards off the ball and hit him. It's a good read. Hit the right guy.
Well, now the danger you talked about, Jake. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, but Geneseo to have the ball, having possession to start off the third quarter coming out of halftime, too.
Yeah, those little two-for-ones, man. So you score, you're going to kick it here. They're probably going to squib it. They're definitely not going to let Marcus or Amari back here get their hands on the football, or they shouldn't. If they do, good for us.
Yeah.
but I doubt they do that. They're going to pick a guy, and they're just going to squib it to him. And then they're going to get the ball back, right? And you want to talk about a momentum shift going into half. The Streaks respond to the big play by scoring a touchdown of their own. And then what a response back by Geneseo. This is a good high school football game. This is what we're watching right now. So how do the Streaks respond and go into halftime, regroup, and find a way to get a stop in the first possession for Geneseo?
A couple of third down conversions on that drive. The tough one was the first one, that the Streaks had the penalty on 3rd and 2. And they will kick. It'll be short to the near sideline. They kick away.
It bounced backwards
to Geneseo, where they recover at the 30-yard line. John Sibley did not come up aggressively after the ball, and when the ball landed, it bounced backwards Geneseo's direction, and the pursuit was downfield, and it bounced right back to them, and they'll be able to take a free shot, maybe two, with 8 seconds to go. No timeouts remaining, and it'll be at the 28-yard line.
You might practice that, but you never get that bounce.
That bounce was perfect.
Yep.
So Geneseo effectively could get 2 plays here. They got to go deep. They've burned all their timeouts. So they do have to, right?
Correct.
It does say 1 on the scoreboard. Right. They don't have any timeouts.
Right.
So this play, they can do this one of 2 ways. You can either take 2 shots at the end zone, or you can run a little out. You have to get out of bounds.
Correct.
And then you can run it again. So I personally would just take 2 shots. And you count on your home scoreboard operator to make sure that 8 seconds is long enough for 2 shots.
We laugh, but...
But it's the way it is.
But it's the way it is.
I would count on our guy if we were at Van Dyke. So
they're going to go 4 wide, 2 to each side of the field. They will keep Neal in at the running back, lined up to the right of Weller.
No safety deep here for Galesburg.
2 receivers right, 2 left. Little bit of pressure, quick out to the outside and dropped.
Jake, you saw it. Yeah.
A little bit low into the numbers of Cooper McKeague, and he just dropped it. So, again, one of those, we talked about it last week, Sean, you got to have the ball before you can do anything.
Yeah, and Jake, what did you see there?
It got deflected first at the line, so that was the initial thing that messed it up. But they were setting up hook and ladder.
Mm-hmm.
We were there. Unless he made a tackle miss, we were going to be fine.
They ran a hook and ladder against UT in their victory last week.
Yeah, we were not fooled by it.
So, again, no safety deep. Nobody playing center field right now. Concerns me.
Down to 3 seconds when this passes away. Right across the middle. Bouncing after the completion. Going for the end zone. He's tackled short.
Oh, boy.
As the completion is made to Cooper McKeague. Across the middle. He slipped one tackle. Curled around to the far hash mark. Got tackled from behind. Tried to get forward momentum to the end zone, did not do it, and time expires. And he's down. Where are they going to mark this ball? They're not even going to mark it, but it was inside the 1, it looked like.
That reminds me of the Super Bowl.
I was thinking the same
back,
thing.
It was
Rams,
Rams. Yep. And he was a half yard short on the stretch.
That was at the end of the game that would have won it.
Mm-hmm.
This is going into halftime. So the Streaks catch a break after Geneseo caught a break. They gave away 27.5 yards at the final play of the half. And it's that half yard is just enough to keep Geneseo out of the end zone and keep the score at 14-7 Maple Leafs heading to the locker room. Stay tuned for our halftime interview. We'll check some scores from around the area as well. 14-7 Geneseo over Galesburg at the half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, keeping you connected to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Tyler Gunn for WGIL. Friday, September 23rd, Bridgeway is hosting the Discover Wellness Summit at Carl Sanford College. This event features two renowned keynote speakers, Kate Fagan and Ben Nimten, as well as 30 breakout speakers about wellness. This event is free to attend and includes a box lunch and a t-shirt. Find out how to register on the community events page at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg High School Football and WGIL is brought to you in part by Templeton Roofing, Galesburg and the surrounding area's oldest and most trusted residential and commercial roofing contractor. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
You may not remember what someone said, but you'll never forget how they made you feel. Todd Ettinger of Hinchliffe Pearson West knows the lasting impact true compassion can have.
They'll say, my friend told me to ask for Todd, or my friend told me to ask for Alan, or Carrie, or Randy, or Jake, or Dennis. That's very impactful, too, to think that you would have such a state on someone that they would offer you up by name.
Find comfort you will always remember at Hinchliffe Pearson West in Galesburg and Abingdon.
Americans are tired, frustrated by a stalling economy, inflation, and disintegration of trusted institutions. Millions of Americans are waking up to a country they don't recognize. And while they struggle to raise their families and pay their bills, the media and corporations are telling them they're what's wrong with the country. Thankfully, there are some companies that still believe in America. And when we stick together, greatness follows. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell company, is on the front lines fighting for the sanctity of life, religious freedom, and the Second Amendment. They have broad nationwide coverage through multiple major networks, giving you crystal clear coverage, minus the woke propaganda supported by the major carriers. Go to patriotmobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT. They have plans for any budget, and their U.S.-based customer service team is ready to help. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Use the offer code RADIO and get free activation. That's patriotmobile.com, patriotmobile.com, or call 972-PATRIOT.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Partly cloudy tonight, overnight low 65. Some sunshine tomorrow with a high of 85. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies, a chance of rain overnight, a low of 66. Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms early on, and then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 85. It's 72 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Ford of Galesburg Halftime Report. Ford of Galesburg on West Main Street, where your purchase is backed by our promise. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Galesburg Geneseo Maple Leaf Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at Galesburg Junior Senior High School. Principal Hawkins will join us later, but tonight's spotlight is on student council. Joining me right now is a student council sponsor, Ms. Tammy Qualls. Ms. Qualls, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So coming up next week, we have homecoming week, and student council is in charge of planning events for that week. What is the overall theme this year for the homecoming week?
We have that exciting theme of disco fever.
So the week leading up to the dance itself is Spirit Week. So what are some of the events that we have happening throughout the week?
Well, first of all, we have dress-up days for all of the kids at junior, senior high school. We have PJ on day on Monday. We have teacher-student swap day. You can do a general swap or a specific swap. And then on Wednesday, we have the class color day. Seniors will wear pink, juniors blue, sophomores green, freshmen yellow. Eighth graders will wear red, seventh graders orange, and the teachers will wear purple. Thursday is disco day. You get to dress up in your 70s outfit. And Friday is school spirit day, or wear your homecoming disco fever t-shirt day. And then Saturday, of course, we have our big homecoming dance. And on Wednesday night, we have our Powder Puff game. So that's what's exciting going on that week.
So what are the times that we have for Powder Puff?
Powder Puff game is actually at Van Dyke Field, and we will be having the girls, the juniors versus the seniors in the Powder Puff flag football game, and that will be from 6:30 to 7:45. You'll want to come out and watch it. We always have a great time there with student announcers and officials and teachers as coaches. It's lots of fun.
That does sound like a lot of fun. How about the parade on Friday?
On Friday, we have our pep assembly during the last period of the school day. And so that'll be from 1:45 to 2:45. And then the kids get dismissed, and immediately we go downtown and line up for our homecoming parade. And so we line up about 3:15, but the public, you need to be there. It starts at 4 o'clock. You'll get to see our winning high school band, all of the different floats that the classes have designed. We'll have lots of fun, and all of the activities and the kids that participate, it's really a good time. And then you can come to the game right afterwards.
So the game will happen on Friday night. But the big part is going to be the dance on Saturday. So let's talk a little bit about the dance. What time is the dance, and where will it be located this year?
The dance will be located in the field house. Last year we were in a tent, so we're back in a building this year. We're excited about that. Without masks, of course. And we will have the Disco Fever theme, and that is from 8 to 11 p.m. at the field house.
Okay, so walk us through that day. So the Saturday is kind of a, there's a lot of hands involved, a lot of people working to make this event successful. So tell our listeners about what that day is about. Like, what time do you start working and bringing people in, setting up for the dance and everything? So what exactly is happening on that day?
I actually start at 7 a.m. I pick up breakfast for the student council members, and we'll have roughly, we have 72 student council members this year because, you know, there are a lot of great leaders that we have. But unfortunately, many of them are gone at games and activities that they have, competitions that day, because it's a busy day. So they'll be competing. So we'll have about 45 who are decorating, and we decorate from usually 8 to about noon. And we'll have it decked out like a disco place that you've never seen before in the field house. So that's a good time. And then usually we try to end about noon or 1 for those kids so they can also go home, take a little nap, get their hair done, whatever they need to do. One of my favorite things that we're doing this year for decorating is we have been collecting vinyls. You know, kids don't even know what vinyls are, really. 45 RPMs, and for singles that are going there, their names will be on those. We will write their names after they buy a ticket for $15 to go to the dance, and that's our name wall. So they can pick their 45 RPM record with their name on it and take that home as memorabilia. And if they're coming as a couple, they get a 33 and a third RPM album, as we, some of us of the older generation, know it as. And so their names will be on there on our name wall with those vinyls. And that's really exciting and kind of fun for the kids, since that's a big takeoff that's going on now. Of course, they're probably not all the best albums and 45s that they would want to keep, but their names will be on them.
Hopefully I'd be the one that would get the Beatles White Album. So you've been a student council sponsor now for a few years. What are some of the events you have planned coming up for the rest of the semester for student council?
Well, we have events for almost an event a month, if not more than that. So we, after we finish up our homecoming, which is a really big highlight for kids, we do a blood drive. We actually have 4 blood drives this year. The first one is October 7th. It's from 1 to 6 p.m. in the public in our Galesburg High School library. And you can come in, enter through the front doors. And when you donate blood, not only are you saving lives and you get a free T-shirt, but also we use that, how many pints we donate, we earn scholarships for students, for our seniors. And so I'm always excited because last year we gave $750 in scholarships away to kids. So that's always a big thing. So we want to get the community to come and join our blood drive. We're having a student council bonfire this year. We haven't had that before, But we're doing it for the student council because that was one of our goals this year, is to create a better, more cohesive group with this council and just spend time. We have a monthly celebration that we do at the meetings for all the birthdays of that month. So that's one of the things that we do. Another big thing that we do is our trunk or treat, which is scheduled for October 30th. It'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. in our parking lot, and it's free to any student that is K through 5 or under that, through 5th grade, and parents can bring their kids out here in a safe area and trick or treat. We usually have some fire trucks there. The EMTs, they come out. We just have a great time. So I encourage you to come and enjoy that. And that's for our community as well, and the students do a great job with that. We have our Operation Christmas Child that we collect shoeboxes and send off to third world countries for kids. And then we also have one of the highlights we really enjoy is the Veterans Day breakfast that we honor our veterans, and that is on November 10th. It'll be from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. in our library. And we just are so thankful for them. And then we always have a concluding event after we've had breakfast and we honor them and we the kids read some poetry or a letter to them. Then we have them walk through our downstairs building at GHS while the drumline plays behind them and all the kids come out and clap for them and applaud and thank them for their service to our country and our freedom with education even. So we're really grateful for that. We have we decorate our school, of course, for the holidays and celebrate that. We do an angel tree gift where different classes can adopt a foster care child in our community, and then we present those wrapped presents to our facility, and they distribute those among the foster kids in Knox County. And that's pretty much what we do for at least that first semester. Yep.
Okay, sounds good. Pretty busy. Well, again, that was Ms. Tammy Qualls, the sponsor of Student Council. Now let's talk with GHS Principal Mr. Tom Hawkins about the past week of school and what excitement lies ahead.
Well, I first want to highlight that our band last weekend, last Saturday, went to Washington, did an outstanding job, and finished the top of the class. So we're always proud of our band. This past week, we've had a lot of pre-planning for graduation as far as our class meetings with our seniors. We had our huge CTE field trip to Chicago. We had Meet the Teacher Night on Wednesday night here in the building. And yesterday was our midway through the first quarter. So pretty eventful week.
All right, sounds good. So what events do we have coming up next week?
Well, as you already talked about, homecoming is the focus of next week. It is a week that is filled with a lot of activities that our kids get to participate in, so we're really looking forward to that. But I also want to mention that on Friday night, we have the community open house. I know a lot of members of the community have been wanting to get in and see our building after watching it be under construction for the last 2-3 years. So that is on Friday night, and they can enter through the front entrance. I believe it's 4 to 6.
Sounds good. Well, that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at Galesburg Junior Senior High School. Thanks again to Student Council sponsor Ms. Tammy Qualls and Galesburg Junior Senior High School Principal Mr. Tom Hawkins for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second-half action against the Geneseo Maple Leafs on 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
The top stories of the day and so much more. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM, WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Wednesday night, Galesburg police responded to Bar 65 on South Cherry Street for a report of an unknown male armed with a knife inside the bar. When officers arrived, the bar owner and a patron removed the 23-year-old Galesburg man from the premises. The bar was hosting a private event that night, and after being denied entry, the male continually tried to come inside. The male had handed the knife over to patrons upon request and was placed under arrest with that incident. He was transported to the Knox County Jail and charged with a city ordinance violation of weapons prohibited in bars. A chunk of US 150 that runs through Galesburg is getting work starting Monday. The State Transportation Department says that from Allens Avenue to Grand on Main Street, and then from Main to Michigan Avenue along Grand, will undergo some pavement patching and curb repair. Intermittent lane closures are required, and work is expected to be completed by October, and IDOT says to be on the lookout for workers and equipment when traveling through the work zone. I'm Cameron Lyon. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM, WGIL. Galesburg's News.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Rich Dennison. The Justice Department tonight asking a federal appeals court to lift a judge's order that temporarily bars it from reviewing classified documents seized during an FBI search of former President Trump's Florida home last month. The department telling the 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Atlanta that the judge's hold was impeding the government's efforts to protect the nation's security and interfering with its investigation. Texas Governor Greg Abbott tells Fox News he'll continue busing migrants to other cities to highlight problems at the nation's southern border.
The pressure continues to build because of the number of people crossing the border. And for to relieve our communities, we have to continue these busing operations.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has asked the Justice Department to investigate the legality of states sending migrants to other cities. This is a Fox News alert.
Do you promise to have and to hold until death do you part?
No, but I, Dane Kuna, do promise 1 year of free oil changes with purchase of any vehicle.
Oh, wow. I do.
Ford of Galesburg is ready to commit to you with the Ford Promise. Stop by West Main Street in Galesburg. Test drive the car, truck, or SUV that catches your eye. And drive off the lot knowing you have free oil changes for the next year. Plus free maintenance inspections and a price match guarantee on tires.
Ford of Galesburg, your purchase is backed by our promise.
Have local health care changes left you without a primary care or urology provider? Dr. Julio Santiago and Dr. Thomas Patterson have joined Salvera Health at our new clinic on Suanga Taha Road in Galesburg. They're accepting new patients and take most insurance. Request an appointment today at salverahealth.com/Galesburg or call us at 309-233-2836. Salvera Health, bringing hospitality to healthcare.
WGIL is proud to be connected to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bazzari from WGIL. Unwind after work at Cocktails and Cafe at Park Plaza Wednesday, September 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. Join in on this evening's version of Cafe in the Park with a happy hour twist. Learn more on the community events page at WGIL.com.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Local owners, local radio hosts, local news. Find out more anytime at WGIL.com. Get today's local news headlines in your email with the morning brief from WGIL News. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Halftime here at Geneseo's Bob Reed Field. A little extended halftime with not only Hall of Fame ceremonies going on, that was more of the emphasis during the time between the freshman-sophomore game and the warm-up for the varsity game. But right now, homecoming royalty being announced. At the half, it's Geneseo 14, streak 7, and we are going to get our coach's interview now. And so we can, Jake, feel free to take all the time in the world down there because we've got some here. Let's find out what assistant coach Jacob Carl has to say.
Okay, Coach Carl, obviously a great high school football game here for the first half, right? Some swings kind of back and forth, momentum being a big deal. What was the discussion at halftime on how you respond? They score late, and then they get the football, obviously, to return. What's the discussion in terms of kind of get ourselves regrouped and get ourselves ready to play a good second half?
Yeah, I think we should definitely be fortunate. Feel that we're fortunate to be where we are with the score right now. We did not play good football in the first half, but within 7 points, so that's the good news. We have a second half to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about offensively, it seemed that the first few drives were stopped by us, right? We had a bad snap that stopped one. We put the ball on the ground a couple times. Obviously, those things are our point of emphasis. Do you like what you did in the first half offensively and see yourselves in making adjustments to what you are going to obviously see Geneseo do, especially to the option game, which is something that we haven't put on film yet?
Yeah, I think we're doing a lot of good stuff. I think we're right there on a lot of plays. You know, one guy missing a block, a high snap, whatever it is, I think we're right there. So just keep doing what we're doing, everybody doing their job, and we're going to be all right.
So defensively, you knock out the Helke kid, but their backup runner comes in, and he started to give us some fits. The quarterback, obviously, is a dynamic athlete. So what's the take on how you want to contain the quarterback run, which seemed to be the thing that hurt us the most in the first half?
Yeah, definitely. He's in there to run, but he obviously made a good throw there at the end of the half. We just got to be tough up front. You know, they're saying that they're going to line up across from us and beat us man on man. So we got to be tough up front, and we'll see how we respond here in the second half.
All right, go get him, Coach. Thanks for talking.
Thanks as always. Excuse me, to the Streaks coaching staff giving us some insight there with assistant coach Jacob Carl at the half. Coach Derek Blackwell will join us in the post game. Again, freshman sophomore game ended with a Geneseo victory earlier tonight, 16-14, in another well played tight game. Let's take a look at the first half statistics, starting off with the home team, our opponent tonight, the Geneseo Maple Leafs. They've run the ball 17 times for 124 yards, including a touchdown, a 55-yard touchdown run by the quarterback, A.J. Weller. Running situation that Jake was just discussing with assistant coach Jacob Carl. 7 carries on the night for the quarterback, Weller, for 88 yards. Then we go to Jaron Neal, the running back that Jake also was talking with Coach Carl about, who came in place of Connor Helke. And Jaron Neal's carried the ball 4 times for 22 yards. Helke, the starting main running back, the featured back, 4 carries for 4 yards tonight. William Taylor ran it once for 9, and Jaden Winzerl had 1 carry for 1 yard. The quarterback, A.J. Weller, didn't pass the ball until the final play of the second scoring drive. And then after the kickoff recovery, when the Streaks did not run up and get underneath it, and Geneseo got the ball back, Weller ended up throwing the ball for the final 3 offensive plays for Geneseo in the first half, completing 2 of them, including 1 for a 13-yard touchdown pass to William Taylor, and the other a 27-yard pass to Cooper McKeague, which was a half yard short of the end zone on the final play of the half. And the Streaks a little bit fortunate to be down just a touchdown here at the break, 14-7. For the Silver Streaks, Galesburg's run the ball 22 times for 75 yards, 8 carries for quarterback Geno Williams, including the only score tonight for Galesburg, an 8-yard touchdown run, which was one of the most exciting that we've seen in some time, doing it all by himself with a number of Geneseo players getting their hands on him, and somehow Geno escaping some tackles, staying on his feet, backing his way across the ends or the goal line for the Streaks' only score of the first half. Cam McGuire's carried it 9 times for 37 yards, and Amari Richardson has 5 carries for 9 yards. He did recover a bad snap deep behind the line of scrimmage that ended up as a loss of 12. Otherwise, Amari's numbers would look a whole lot better. Geno Williams passing the ball in this game 3 for 3 for 44 yards, all 3 connections to Cam McGuire out of the backfield for those 44 yards. 2 penalties, 20 yards for the Silver Streaks, 2 penalties, 10 yards for Geneseo. Again, 14-7 Maple Leafs at the half, and they will have the ball to start the third quarter. Reds leading the Cardinals 4-1 in St. Louis. And high school football scores, I totally forgot to check.
I got them right here, Brad,
oh,
if
awesome.
You want.
Hey, I'm ready.
Well, there is already a final.
Oh, my. In the Western Big Six?
In the Western Big Six.
No way.
Sterling has defeated Rockon Alleman 69-0. That game is final. UT
continuous
is
clock in the second half.
Continuous
makes a big
clock,
difference.
Yes. UT is and Quincy. Quincy is up 13-7 on UT at the half. Moline is up 20-10 on Rock Island at the half. So that would be the Western Big Six. Again, that's Sterling over Alleman. It's over. Quincy 13-7 at halftime. Moline up 20-10 against Rock Island. I'm trying to think where that game is. I think that's at Rocky tonight, up 20-10. And you got a 14-7. So you got 3 close ball games at half right now in the Big Six.
All right. Appreciate that. Glad you were on top of things, because I was asleep at the wheel up here.
It's okay. I do what I can.
Meanwhile.
Well, it helps out, too, because I don't do Twitter.
Yeah.
Inside joke listener. Sorry.
Looking at trying to find others, like smaller school scores from around the area, I'm still in research mode on that right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought I had it, but I don't.
Yep, I was scrolling through seeing what I could find while you were rattling off the Big Six scores, and I wasn't finding anything right offhand either. Seeing lots of stuff from like 10, 12, 14 hours ago. It's no help whatsoever.
Right, not going to help. I was interested in what Coach Carl talked about. You know, he was, as I've interviewed him now for this is the 4th time, and you could see the frustration on his face, very upset at the Silver Streaks in the first half. And he mentioned it, we're very fortunate to be down only 7 points. Hopefully they get things worked around there in the half, as we will kick off and find a way to make a stop, hopefully here in Geneseo's first offensive possession. Silver Streaks kicking south in direction here of the football field into the wind.
Cade Van Opdorp and Jackson Reed deep for Geneseo, standing at about their 10. Now Van Opdorp comes up to the 11 to receive this kick, crosses to the 15, trying to bounce right, now cuts up the middle across the 25 where he's tripped up, and forward progress to the 28 where the Maple Leafs will start this drive, again scoring on their last full drive of the first half and almost sneaking one in right before halftime, but stopped just short. So their third straight possession here, starting this from the 28-yard line.
Yeah, Sam had a nice kick down the 10-yard line there. We had guys through. He's able to make a couple people miss, get the ball then out to the 28.
Just stepped outside the press box, and feels like the breeze has picked up since it what it was earlier in the game. I don't know if that had an impact on that kickoff or not. Tight end shift right to left, two wideouts left, and two running backs out of the eye. Quick pass to the outside will be complete. 30-yard line, 35, trying to bounce to the outside, but the stop made short of the 40. And a good gain on first down for the Maple Leafs. So now four straight passes for the Maple Leafs going back to the first half.
That's what I was going to say. I wondered if they didn't like some things that they saw in the pass game. They didn't even attempt any kind of ball through the air until the very end of the first half, and they found success, right? Three in a row. So I'm wondering if that's going to be a bigger part of their game plan here.
Goes as a gain of five. They'll stack the two receivers to the right again. The tight end, Johnson, shifting from left to right. The snap. Now they'll go back to the ground game. And sneaking up the middle across the 35. Close to a first down marker, but I think a little bit short. Yep, they're going to spot it just across the 35 at the 36.
Like Sean's guy, John Willis, in there making an ankle tackle short of that first down.
Yeah, I need to get one more of those, and they're, you know, three and out. Let's do this, boys. Let's get a stop here.
Neal, the tailback, lined up to the right of Weller. Again, Neal in after the injury and getting all of the running plays after the injury to Helke earlier. They'll go back to Neal. Gets to the outside, dragged down, but he's got enough for the first down. Advances the ball to the 39-yard line. In the grasp initially, but is able to fight through just enough to move the chains on a third down conversion.
Yeah, Nick Curtis was in position there for the stop, but he's able to just get a little head wobble on him, enough to get him off balance. Held on for the tackle, but the guy got enough to lunge forward for the first down.
Geneseo now 4-for-6 on third down conversions in this game. They were 0 for their first two, and they've converted on third down every time since. Just underway, third quarter, 2 minutes gone. Maple Leafs leading 14-7. New set of downs, just short of their 40. The keeper, Weller, to the left. Hit and then pushed backwards. Short gain on first down. Noah Wright, the initial man, on the stop. And he'll advance it to about the 41-yard line for a gain of two, close to three.
The Geneseo trying to probe the right side there by splitting out three receivers to the trip side and then running their quarterback. Just trying to find advantages, trying to find leverages and angles to get to the outside. Galesburg ready to defend that.
Ball sitting just inside the left hash mark. Short of the 42-yard line, second and seven upcoming for the Maple Leafs. With the man in motion bouncing back to the outside, they'll pass to him. That's complete to Taylor, who had the big reception earlier. He crosses midfield into Galesburg territory and stopped at about the 48, and that'll be enough to move the chains for another Maple Leaf first down.
Hustle play there by Xavier Van Dyke, right? Making a play downfield to defensive linemen. That is not a play you see often made by a guy that's got his hand in the ground to start the play.
Yeah, we talked last week about John Sibley being a very sure tackler in the open field. Ended up with a missed tackle there, and that's what allowed for Van Dyke to come up and make the tackle.
Taylor has been the favored target tonight. Three receptions for 27 yards, including a Geneseo touchdown. Maple Leafs on top, 14-7. On the ground again to Neal, feeling his way up the left side. Finds a hole across the 45, down to about the 42-yard line for a gain of seven on first down. 9 minutes to go, third quarter. Maple Leafs on top by seven. Moving the ball into Galesburg territory, down to the 43 is where they'll spot the ball.
Another good gain on first down for Geneseo. It opens up the playbook, and we're already seeing them sprinkle in the pass more in this second half. This is a good time for one play action. The Dugo twins to the top side of the field. and motion the tight end over.
Yep.
Tight end trips.
To the left side. Quarterback keeps it. Fakes the handoff. Found room to run. Spins off a tackle in the secondary. Inside the 35. Stopped short of the 30. And another Geneseo first down as they advance the ball deeper into Streaks territory. Ball laid down at the 32 for a gain of 11. Geneseo's got something going. They figured some things out here from early in the game when the Streaks defense was stiff and not allowing much to happen. Things opening up for the Maple Leafs here since about the midpoint of the second quarter when the Streaks turned that ball over in Geneseo territory, and Maple Leafs have been on the move since. Weller over 100 yards rushing now with 102 for the game on 9 carries. More than half of that on that 55-yard touchdown run.
Jake, what do we have happening down there?
Tight end Johnson is going out. I don't know if an equipment issue, injury.
Yeah, it's an equipment issue right now on Xavier Van Dyke. Looks like Brandon's getting the gloves on, which probably means a little bit of blood on the jersey.
And now Derek Blackwell calls timeout.
Right, he doesn't like what he has to see. It looks like Geno has to come into the ball game.
Geno did, yeah.
They're going to move Cam McGuire up to the spot vacated by Xavier Van Dyke, we're talking about depth, right? You got to do what you got to do, so that does force Geno into the ball game defensively to replace Cam McGuire. So it's just the ripple effect continues. So he's got a little blood on the elbow. They're patching him up real quick. Derek Blackwell is hoping this timeout is truly just going to be enough to get Xavier back in the game, but I don't know.
Does he have to stay out one play?
Not with a timeout, Sean. If you call a timeout, you can re-enter without having to stay out one play.
And this could be too, because I remember last week when Geno did go to quarterback, there were a few snaps where we had to put Nolan Carl at linebacker, and maybe that's just the trickle effect that caused some of the confusion defensively.
Put Mason Kemet out there at linebacker at least once or twice around that time too.
Right, Mason Kemet out, that hurts.
Yep.
So that timeout was solely to wait for Xavier. It really was, because Xavier's now back in. And I get it, you do not want Geno even in out there for one play if you can help it. But that shows how thin it is right now. You know, Xavier Van Dyke, an injury to him, causes a quarterback into the ball game, could change the dynamic of this whole thing.
Meanwhile, Johnson, the tight end for Geneseo, had gone to the sidelines as that was all playing out. Now he's back in, lining up tight end left. Two wides to the right for the Maple Leafs. First and 10 from the Galesburg 32-yard line. Now Johnson goes in motion, lines up to the right. They'll hand off to Neal. Hit at the line of scrimmage. Falls forward to the 35. Good sure tackle and holding on Willis for a short gain on first down to the 30.
Yeah, good play there by the Streaks to at least the hole was there initially, right? And I thought that the gain was going to be bigger than that, but the Streaks able to tie that one up.
Yeah, we've seen multiple first downs this drive that have gone for more yards than that. So, I mean, they gained some yards, but it's not been the bulk of what we've seen so far this half.
Second and 8 from the Galesburg 30. Again, Johnson the shift, tight end left, lines up right. But the
quarterback
on the keeper right up the middle, room to run into the secondary. Trying to stay on his feet, battling for the goal line, and he's got it. Tackled down right at the goal line. Eicher and Sibley giving chase. Streaks thought the knee might have been down, but it doesn't matter. It's 20-7 Maple Leafs, 7:39 to go, third quarter. Second touchdown run of the night for the quarterback, A.J. Weller.
He's slow getting up there, Jake. I mean, as a big run there, I mean, really was the maverick of the whole touchdown run there. But does he seem to be injured at all?
I think he was just kind of rubbing the calf, maybe a possible cramp or something. But he's jogging back. He's going to be the holder here. It looks like he's going to be okay.
So, worst fears
come
true. A score to end the half. And now a score to open the second half.
Missed it again.
The kick is inside the right upright.
Oh,
ton of distance. It was definitely angling that direction. So 21-7 Maple Leafs, 7:39 to go. Streaks will have the ball for the first time in the third quarter when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg.
Want to hand your favorite local charity $100? Nominate them for Hometown Hundreds. Every week, F&M Bank and Galesburg.info draw a winner from the Knox and Warren County nominees. Like Mount Zion Baptist Church, who just got $100. Nominate now at Galesburg.info, keyword hundreds.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The Geneseo Maple Leafs, 9-play scoring drive, 72 yards in 4 minutes and 31 seconds. A.J. Weller, 30-yard touchdown run, his second of the night. Extra point makes it 21-7, and gotta believe Streaks kickoff coverage here is going to be a whole lot better than it was on the one right before halftime. And Geneseo scored with 8 seconds left, put one into no man's land at about the 30, and it dropped free. They go with the same strategy, a high kick. Streaks come up under it. Aguirre lets it bounce, and it bounces true over to Curtis, who goes right, shifts back to the middle, runs into the back of his own man, still on his feet, crossing the 40 to the 43-yard line. Do not like seeing that ball bounce free. But take it.
Yeah, the rule of thumb, you
good
tell
Galesburg
your,
roll.
Yeah, the rule of thumb you tell your upbacks is that you never back up on a ball. So if you have to back up, then it's the next guy behind you's job to come up and catch it. So you never want to see your guys backing up to catch it, and that's what it looked like Darius was doing there, Walker. The guy behind him didn't come up, and it lets the ball hit the ground. It ends up going all the way back to the Streaks' rearmost, you know, returners. But the ball on the ground is, especially after what we just watched, is a kind of a anxiety-filled thing right now.
Yeah, and that was Lewis. You know, we got the hop on that one. Time before, it took you like a 10-yard bounce back right to
a
Maple Leaf fans. I mean, it was, he couldn't do any better.
From the 43 is where the Galesburg drive start. Geno Williams, handoff to the right side and a short gain on first down to maybe the 44, and whistles with some action away from the ball. Should we go with Nick Curtis on that? I think they did. His first of the game. Actually going to give him a gain of 2 to the 45.
We'll see what Geneseo does here now that they've had a half to talk about the triple option, which wasn't something necessarily on film. I don't see them aligning any differently right now, but we'll see how they play the game, which has been the biggest offensive threat for Galesburg thus far.
Second and 8 Streaks, first offensive possession of the second half, now trailing 21-7. Nolan Carl in motion, lines up right. Out of the shotgun, Geno. Straight snap, rolling right on a quarterback keeper, trying to get to the edge, runs into the back of his own man, stops the play where the pursuit for Geneseo chases him down for a gain of maybe a yard.
I talked in the pregame about speed, and Geneseo is showing right now as soon as they see our quarterback keep it or looking to do a speed option to one side or the other, they are flying to that outside edge.
Yeah, they're just playing so aggressive right now, right? And we did some plays last half, had some screens, had some counters. Right now, Geneseo, with all the momentum, are just playing with reckless abandon out there, and they're able to take good angles and run down the speed that we do have as an advantage.
Halfway through the third quarter, Maple Leafs on top, 21-7, third and 7 Streaks from the 46-yard line. Geno kicks. Amari goes in motion. Straight drop. Geno looking long. Intended receiver Eicher got tripped up and incomplete, but a flag down. And for the second time tonight, pass interference on a deep drive by Eicher.
And that was a nice ball too, Jake.
Yeah, the ball was well, he threw him open, right? The ball was kind of on the inside, and Mikey makes a nice adjustment to the route. And they're not going to be able to cover him. It's just like, how can we get the ball to him? They're playing so soft. I think we're going to have to throw a couple hitches. Right now, the passing game has been sort of all or nothing. For Mike, and right now two offensive or defensive pass interference.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about the first down and second down, how aggressive their defense was. Now you get to like a 3rd and 8, you don't need to be as aggressive because, you know, we probably have to put the ball up in the air. So they backed that off a little bit, and lucky for us, they were able to get too handsy in the backfield, and we got a pass interference.
Moves the ball into Geneseo territory at the 39-yard line. 5:46 to go, third quarter. Streaks on the move, down 2 touchdowns. Trying to chip into the deficit. Communication at the line of scrimmage.
It's okay, they got plenty of time.
They get things set. Geno kicks. Nolan Carl shifts. Now Geno with a straight drop. Looking right, intended for Aguirre. Throws in front of him a little too much, falls incomplete.
And that was well covered. A lot of times you see that back slip out of the backfield like that uncovered in high school football, but Geneseo very disciplined. So if Cam catches that ball, he was going to have a Geneseo linebacker right in his face.
First incompletion of the night for Geno. 3 for 3 passing in the first half for 44 yards. All three of those completions to Aguirre. Of course, Eicher targeted a couple of times and a pass interference both times. Both times on third down as well. Second and 10 streaks here from the Maple Leaf 39-yard line. In motion, Richardson. Geno looking. Nobody there. He'll keep it. Trying to get to the outside. Does. 35, 30-yard line. First down. Tackled short of the 25-yard line. Took a big hit at the end of the play. Held on to the ball.
And that was a broken play. Flash fake to a back that was not there.
Yep.
All right, Coach Blackwell kind of hopefully clearing that up right now with Geno. But, again, athleticism makes up for a lot of mistakes.
Gains 12 to the Geneseo 27-yard line.
Dynamic player. And that's the thing defensively. We were like, oh, good. You've got a misplay, a miscommunication in the backfield, and yet he still was able to run and get a first down.
Well, and Geno thinking quickly, too. I mean, he turns, nobody's there, so he just takes off. He doesn't.
Yeah.
No indication that he stopped and thought, well, what am I going to do now? He just goes.
And you practice that because sometimes it happens at practice, and your coach will tell you, go. Don't wait and think about it.
Option to the outside. Aguirre dropped the ball. Now it's free. Maple Leafs have recovered after the fumble. They'll take over at about the 34-yard line.
Nothing wrong with the pitch. Pitch is right in his hands, and just eyes are downfield. We're looking to make a move.
Got a flag here.
Flag down out of bounds down here at about the 25-yard line on the Galesburg side of the field.
I think he's been manhandling his corner for a number of plays here and pancaking him right at the end of the plays. And I think they were watching him this time. He did the same thing, no different than what he's been doing the whole drive, and they threw a flag on him this time.
Streaks had a couple of fumbles early in the game that they were able to recover. But this will be their second turnover on a fumble tonight. In addition to the kickoff, there's the personal foul penalty against Galesburg and an unsportsmanlike conduct against Geneseo.
I think he pointed the wrong way.
Yeah, because they're only marching this direction.
Although we've seen them walk it off and then turn around and walk it right back, but that's not what they're doing here. Right. Geneseo's going to have it at the 49-yard line. So second lost fumble of the night against the Silver Streaks, both times coming inside the Geneseo 30-yard line when the Streaks give it up. The first time that happened, Geneseo went four plays and made the Streaks pay. 5 minutes to go, third quarter. Maple Leafs up 2 touchdowns. They'll go on the ground and move it into Galesburg territory. Stop made at the 45-yard line for a gain of 6.
We've got to finish that play because our initial contact happened about a 1-yard gain, 2-yard gain. Stopped their feet and was able to gain another 5 yards on us.
And that was Taylor again, who had a key 9-yard run in the first half that was important at the time. I'll spot him for 5 here. And you guys talked about it off air after Geneseo scored on the opening drive of this third quarter, how key that stop was at the half-yard line right before halftime. But Streaks need a huge stop here, preferably a turnover. On the ground to Neal again. And again, he's hit just about the line of scrimmage. He keeps the pile moving forward. And he'll pick up 2 more just across the Galesburg 45-yard line. It'll be 3rd and a long 3.
Yeah, you don't see the Geneseo running backs falling sideways or backwards, right? We're making contact, but they're finding ways to fall forward, and those extra yards just add up. Especially after a game like this, that's just they're kind of grinding it out right now, and it's been to their benefit to
shortening
that
it up.
Direction. Yeah.
Well, we're asking for an inside linebacker to make a solo tackle in the middle of a play, middle of the line. We should have more hats to the ball.
3rd and 4, the keeper by Keller to the outside gets the first down, dives across the 40-yard line, and that'll be enough for a first down. Weller, rather, not Keller. He gets it down to the 39, picking up 6 more. And another third down conversion for the Maple Leafs. Again, they missed on their first 2 third down conversion attempts of the night. They have been perfect since then. And a new set of downs at the Galesburg 39-yard line.
Is this a new quarterback too, guys? I think
I can't see the number.
It's eight.
You're right.
Yeah, so I'm looking over there.
It's Magerkurth. Jack Magerkurth, a 6 foot, 220-pound senior.
And I think they're just stretching out a calf cramp again, which
We saw that in a touchdown.
We saw that on the touchdown. So I think that he's got something going on in that way. I was looking at the stats, and the quarterback has not had this kind of a rushing game all season. So this is definitely more that he's used his legs than he has so far.
Magerkurth slaps. Hands off to the left side. Neal gets down low, finds a hole across the left side, 35, down close to the 30-yard line before he is stopped. It'll be a big gain on first down.
At this point in time, Jake, I mean, there's no reason to go in the air. I mean, they're moving the ball on the ground on us. They're chewing up clock. And in a game where they're ahead 21-7, time is of the essence for them. I mean, they're just going to chew and eat away at that. And we need to get the ball back. We need to stop the clock. But they're very content right now to continue running the ball.
Run the ball all night till the cows come home if they want to, and just move this, shorten this game up even more. 2:45 to go now in the third quarter. Out of the gun. Magerkurth will keep it up the middle. First down. He needed three. He got more. Stopped at the 25-yard line for a gain of seven. Cardinals have tied the game. Albert Pujols with a two-run homer, 698 for his career. And the Redbirds and the Reds are tied at four. Here, first down Geneseo at the Galesburg 25-yard line.
Original quarterback back in the ballgame, so two plays off.
The snap, pump fake, Weller rolling right. Now he'll throw, incomplete.
That's an interesting call. I mean, Jake, we were just talking about
that. Why.
You know, now you stop the clock with 2:09 to go in the third, up 21-7. You've moved the ball ever since our turnover down here at, what, about the 25, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
About where we started?
Yeah.
On their own 25 coming
well,
out.
Well, then the penalty, so they actually started near midfield.
Okay.
Right.
And it's been a bend-but-don't-break defense. They've just been chipping away at the running game on us. And then you go and put the ball in the air, and you have an incompletion, and you stop the clock.
2:09 to go, third quarter, 21-7. Geneseo driving, second and 10 from the Galesburg 25. Weller on the keeper. Hit at the line of scrimmage, spun backwards. Streaks converge on top of him. Pile on top back at the 30-yard line. No flag comes down, though. Noah Wright, the initial stop. And it'll be a loss. They're going to plant the ball. Now walking it back up.
Ooh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah, they're only going to give him a loss of a yard. So it'll be third and nine.
So, I mean, their forward progress was stopped, but I don't know if he had gained that much.
Loss of a yard, third and 11. Probably two down territory. Short drop, quick pass, right side complete. Taylor. Tackled, inbounds,
be
short of the 15-yard line. It'll be a gain of, well, depending on where they spot, it's going to be, what, a yard short?
Yeah, it's going to be a long yard. I'd say it's 2 yards. He's going to be 2 yards short, and this is paramount. This is, I mean, I know it's the third quarter, but if they're allowed to continue this, they can take this drive down to the quarter,
right,
score again. Guys, this is it. So big play here for Galesburg.
Yeah, we're under a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Geneseo has essentially had the ball almost this entire second half.
Trying to draw us offsides.
This will be fourth and about a yard and a half. On the ground, Neal.
Oh,
hit
short
by Willis and stopped short of the 15-yard line.
Yep, Galesburg football.
Not even close.
Yeah, the way they're spotting it, it's not even going to need a measurement. Yep, Galesburg football. So big play.
That's a huge stop. John came flying through the hole with a big hit and held on. And Neal, who has been tough to stop all night long, gets stopped on a huge fourth down defensive play for the Streaks with a minute 11 to go here in the third quarter.
That's my guy right there talking about him all the time, John Willis. Hey, that's a nomination right there.
Oh, absolutely. Crunch time.
You betcha. You know,
biggest play of the game right now.
Yeah, thinking the same thing.
Hopefully we can do something with this now.
Agreed.
21-7 Geneseo keeps it a two-possession game. Streaks take over with a lot of field to go from their own 16-yard line. And back to pass, first down, Geno. Time, good protection. Now here comes the pursuit, flushed out of the pocket, and he's just going to have to run it. Got some room to there run. He's at the 20, 25-yard line. Far side, tackled across the 30-yard line. And Geno turns in one of the better runs of the night outside of that amazing touchdown he had in the first half. And good coverage downfield by the Geneseo defense. Geno slips some tackles. Gained 16 on first down.
Jake, I think you'll agree with me. One of the things we would like to see Geno do a little bit more is tuck that pigskin away.
Yeah, he does not carry it well. Loaf of bread, they say. Right? If you're Walter Payton, you can do that.
11 carries, 58 yards on the night for Geno, including the streak's only touchdown. 21-7, Maple Leafs, first down streaks, 35 seconds to play third quarter.
Good.
Hand off Aguirre, trying to bounce to the outside, tackled across the 35 at about the 38. And good gain on first down by Aguirre. Streaks should be able to get off one more play before the end of the quarter.
Yep, let's get one more. Go quick. You got a little rhythm here, a little momentum. Let's get one more before the quarter.
First carry of the second half for Aguirre. He's got 43 yards on the night on 10 carries. Down to 8 seconds to go.
It's going to be close.
Clock ticking down to 5. Streaks get the snap away at 3. Handoff, Aguirre again. Not much there.
That'll
end the quarter. 21-7, and the Streaks facing third and about 3 when we come back. 21-7 Maple Leafs on homecoming at Bob Reed Field. Fourth quarter action coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A warm home on a cold night makes you feel safe, content, and fortunate. So let me ask, is it worth $69 to know you'll have a winter full of warm and cozy evenings? Hi, I'm Autumn Cantorini with Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. One of the best ways to keep your energy bills low and lower the risk of extensive repairs down the road is to get your heating system cleaned and tuned every year. At Neil Thomas, we'll do that for just $69. And if we find you need a repair, we'll give you a 10% discount on it. Give us a call at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, 342 Heat.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
21-7 Geneseo as we get ready to start quarter number 4 on homecoming here at Bob Reed Field. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller with you. Silver Streaks facing 3rd and 3 as we get ready to start the fourth quarter. They'll have it at the ball at their own 39-yard line. Streaks have been their own worst enemy tonight. Turned the ball over twice inside the Geneseo 30-yard line. Maple Leafs turned one of those into points. Early in the game, Streaks were moving the ball, had a big miscommunication on a snap over the head of Geno Williams. That killed a drive. And then the kickoff that fell into no man's land was wide open. Geneseo recovered right before halftime. They did not get points out of that. Big 3rd and 3 here. Misdirection. Geneseo, or rather Geno, keeps it, rolls to the outside of the 45 and a first down. And Galesburg now, tonight, has been very successful on third downs themselves. 5-for-7, and a big third down conversion there to keep the drive alive here as we start the fourth quarter.
That's just a version of a naked boot right there. Yep. It's just a design. He's going to fake the handoff and reverse out and peel off the left side. He makes one guy miss and gains a first down.
And that's a boot that's not looking to pass either. That's looking to keep.
Out of the eye and the shotgun. Handoff right. Cam gets a big hit as he crosses the 45. Right at about the 47-yard line. A good strong hit down low. Cam came to an immediate stop. But he picks up 2.
About as solid of a tackle. You put that tackle on a clinic video, Coach Hickey. That's how you tackle in space. Got his head on the front side, man. Kept his feet going. Drove through the ground. It was an impressive tackle.
Yeah, and that's in the middle of the line. That's a head-on.
Yep.
That's a straight-on tackle. There's not much angle to that. That's just two bodies going to one space, and the Geneseo guy had better leverage.
1 minute gone in the fourth quarter. 21-7 Geneseo. Streaks 3 yards short of midfield on a 2nd and 8. Amari Richardson in motion. He is now the solo wide receiver lined up left.
Here it comes.
Geno looks that direction, now looks right. Flushed out of the pocket, now dumps it off. Complete on the near side as Amari came from the far side of the field all the way to the near side. He's out of bounds in Geneseo territory at about the 46 and a yard short of the first down.
We've seen Amari run that drag route many times in the past few weeks for a lot of yards. I don't know if Geno got pressure, but he got his feet moving a little bit. Amari continued on the route, and he hit him there in the flat.
Yeah, a little maturation actually there for Geno, right? Normally, I was just thinking he was going to run, right? But he kept his eyes downfield and played the position and still got rid of the football with his arm.
Yep, knew where his receivers were.
Another third down for the Streaks, third and one from the Geneseo 46. Cam tripped up in the backfield, gets to the 45, still fighting, and finally the knee goes down, and I think forward progress got him. The official standing right on the 45-yard line, and they're going to give it to him. Not even a measurement. That was just strength against the Geneseo defense, and somehow Cam had enough to get a little more forward momentum after he stumbled a little bit on the handoff in the backfield.
Yeah, didn't have a full head of steam like he normally would have to hit that hole because of that stumble, but just got enough.
But the Maple Leafs have been closing down those holes very quickly. Their inside linebacker play has been solid.
Third down conversion to start the fourth quarter. Second third down conversion on this drive as we approach 10 minutes to play in the game with the Streaks down 14. Richardson in motion with a handoff. Sweep to the outside. Waits for a block. Slips another tackle at the 45. Runs out of bound on the far side with a flag down.
It'd be an area of holding probably on Cam.
Yeah, going to get Cam.
That's going to move the Streaks back across the 50 into their own territory. Relatively clean game tonight on both sides of the ball. This is just the fourth penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks. But it comes at a bad time, down 14 with exactly 10 minutes to play. The Streaks have something going here on this drive, but now they're going to back it up onto their side of the field again.
Well, they have game planned very heavily against our jet motion. And all game, they've been at a point of contact when we give on that play. We've not gotten many yards off of that jet sweep. We have had success going back against it with the counter. We have thrown a pass against it. It was actually incomplete.
Ends up being a 12-yard penalty. Back to the Streaks, 43-yard line. First and 22 now. Down 21-7 here in the fourth quarter, 10 minutes to play. Amari in motion. Geno runs right. Trying to get to the outside. Off balance. Stays on his feet. 45 at Geneseo. 40 where he's taken down right at the out of bounds. So he gets the penalty yardage back plus four more. And now second and manageable.
Yep, that puts you back on schedule. A big run play there. You're going to get the fly sweep going left. And it's just Geno making guys miss out in space off to the right. Get your numbers. Get your advantage.
Gain 16. Make it second and six. From the 41-yard line, 13 carries, 80 yards on the night for Geno Williams out of the quarterback spot. 13 carries, 47 yards for Cam McGuire, who lines up left to Geno in the pocket. Play fake, back to pass. Now he dumps it off to Amari. Caught, trying to get back to the middle of the field.
There he goes.
Tackles, 40, 35. Now speed, 30. Up the near side, out of bounds, knocked out at the 20-yard line. And helmet-to-helmet penalty comes down at the end of the play.
Yeah, the referee right on that. I could see it down the sideline as well, that the helmet-to-helmet, like you said, you cannot lead with the crown of your helmet. Sean kind of talked about that off-air, that he's seen that once or twice as well. So that's going to add to it.
21-yard gain on the catch and run. Williams to Amari Richardson, and now it'll be half the distance to the goal with the ball down at the 20-yard line. And the penalty will take it first and goal for the Streaks to the 10.
So is that... Is he done as a targeting in high school football?
What's that?
Is he done?
No.
Well, did they actually call it targeting, or did they just say personal foul?
Personal foul, yeah.
So the ball sitting at the near hash mark, right side of the field, first and goal Streaks with 9:01 to play, down 21-7.
They're calling it first and goal. You cannot get a first down from here.
Out of the gun, straight drop by Geno, looking. Now here comes pressure from the backside. He flushed out of the pocket. Tries to throw it to the near sideline and defend it from the backside. Intended receiver was Mikey Eicher. And just reaching in from the backside, the defensive back Taylor just poked it away. Incomplete.
Nice coverage there by the offensive line. Geno was able to move around a little bit. Had some time to look up around and see what his receivers were doing. And nice coverage.
Only the second incompletion of the night for Geno. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to cover receivers for as long as Geno was able to stay back there. So found some guys and thought he had a guy open, and last second, a little slap away from the backside. Well done.
Now Marcus Lewis, the lone wideout to the left side of the field. Eicher and Richardson to the right side. Streaks lined up tight end left with Aguirre, the setback, now steps up. Lining up left of Williams with Richardson in motion. Play fake. Gino flushed out of the pocket. Now turns the other direction. Stumbles a bit. Still on his feet. Pump fake. Flag down on the backfield. Gino going to the far side. Gets inside the five before the tackle is made. But a flag down way back at the 22-yard line. And this one will be against the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, they're going to get Cam on a block in the back, which I didn't really think. The guy spun on him. But he did not stay engaged with him.
So there's the official call. Block in the back. Coaching staff frustrated at that. So second big penalty on this drive against the Silver Streaks with 8:38 to play in the game, down 21-7. And that is a spot foul. So the flag down at the 22 is going to move it back to the 32-yard line. Second and goal from the 32. So effectively a 22-yard penalty.
That's a killer.
And even as good as Sam Statisky is at booting field goal doesn't help here. 8:38 right. to go, down two touchdowns. Streaks don't need to get it all back here. In motion, Richardson. Gino will run right after the snap, trying to find some space. Advances the ball to the 25-yard line where the tackle made. And now it'll be third and goal from the 25.
Yeah, not a lot of plays on third and goal from 25 out. Your idea here is try to get it down to the 15 or 10 and make it more of a manageable situation. You already alluded, it's not like a field goal is really going to help you out here, right? You're two full scores down. So just try to cut it in half. And then look for something magical on fourth down.
Clock rolling. This snap will come away at about the 7:45 mark here of the fourth quarter with the Streaks down 14. Snap is made at 7:42. Gino looking left, throws that direction. Mikey Eicher comes back for it. First reception of the night. Up the far side of the field, trying to get out of bounds, and the Streaks do gain some positive ground.
Mission accomplished.
Going to mark him out somewhere 14, in the vicinity of the 15.
14-yard line, yep. Looks like.
If that's a now screen, Jake, would you agree it took a long time to get the ball
takes
out to him?
Takes a while. Yeah, it took a while.
So a gain of 11.
I know you want to save your timeouts here, but effectively, if this isn't a touchdown, this ball game's, you know, pretty much in the bag.
The way Geneseo's been running the
right,
ball,
unless you get a turnover. So I'd be inclined to call a timeout, get my best play together, make sure Gino's on school with what he wants to do. Clock's running down.
Streaks have used one timeout. 7:33 to play. Gino bobbles the ball, gets it, goes end zone, into double coverage, coming back for it, and it's thrown a little bit short. Intended receiver Nolan Carl with two Geneseo Maple Leafs right on top of him.
There's a flag down.
Yep, flag down at the 12-yard line of the far hash mark. Right in the middle of where the line of scrimmage action would have been.
You'd think that would be a hold, but...
Are they talking to us, looks like? Or are they just talking to each other?
They're just talking to each other at this point. Now they are maybe talking to Gino. Oh, they're asking the Geneseo side. It is a hold. Asking the Geneseo
side.
They're declining it.
So the Streaks come away empty. And Streaks trailing 21-7 with 7:26 to go in the game. The Streaks give it up on downs. Maple Leafs will have it at the 14-yard line. And Streaks may have to take some chances here now. Try to force a turnover. Geneseo will not be throwing the ball under any circumstances here.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, this is something you practice for. You know, you guys get run. First guy to the ball for the tackle. You're trying to hold the guy up.
Strip it out of there.
Yeah, next guy's come in. You're trying to get rid of the ball, so...
But Geneseo knows that, too. They're going to go to Taylor from the right side, and a nice diving tackle made at the 16-yard line as he was trying to get to the edge. And Mikey with a dive and a big tackle made. As Taylor was trying to make something big happen there, it's going to go as a gain of just three. But the clock rolls.
Being very slow and deliberate, Geneseo is one of the ball fields that does have play clocks on both ends, so the quarterback has a great view. Doesn't have to wait for an official to raise his hand, can see it counting down. I think Geneseo broke the huddle too soon.
I do,
to be
too.
Honest. They don't need to be up here yet. There's still 11 seconds on the play clock, and he will, should take every bit of it.
Weller is in at quarterback. They'll snap it at five, just under five on the play clock. Play runs right. Neal tackled at the 20-yard line for another short gain of three. It'll be third and four. And I'm going to use your word you used a moment ago, Jake. Paramount here for the Streaks to make an absolute huge stop and could stand to get good field position if they can get a third down stop here and force a punt, get Geneseo to kick into the wind.
Gelsberg did have to use one timeout earlier on their offensive possession, so only with two left. If anybody's wondering why they're not using them yet. But they do need to make a big stop here, get the ball back, make a quick score.
Under six. Under 6 minutes to go. Weller rolling left. Big hole. And tackled, but he just got past the first down marker, and they're going to move the chains. Huge hole across the left side, and now one of his teammates calling for somebody to come over and help out. That's Connor Mitchell from the offensive line signaling to the sideline. Weller is up and heading back into the huddle.
They are going to take him off the field here. And check on that. It's just been calf cramps is what he looks like he's been dealing with.
So he gains eight. They needed four. He gained eight. And it's up to the Gelsberg 28-yard line. Timeout to get him off the field with 5:49 to go in the game. 14-point Geneseo lead and a new set of downs with Magerkurth back in at quarterback. And just watching the play clock run down.
This is when the offensive linemen are upset.
They're going to snap it with 12. Hand off Neal to the right side. Runs into the line, trying to push it forward. Streaks hold their ground, take him down across the 30. At about the 32, maybe 33. Still a good gain on first down for a team that's just trying to run out the clock. He'll pick up five.
For anybody that's never played the offensive line, when you're in your stance, and you're in your stance for that long, second after second, the legs start to burn.
Yep.
We call it leg burn.
Yep, and, hip flexors.
So, oh, yeah. It's
not. Hamstrings through your back.
Yeah, you want to be down there for just, you know, 5 or 8 seconds, and then you want the play to start so you can get out of that stance.
Still breaking huddle pretty early from a play clock standpoint.
Be a good 10 or 12 seconds in the stance.
Snap comes with three on the clock. Bouncing to the outside. Weller back in. Just slides down at the 30.
There's timeout.
And now the Streaks called timeout with 4:39 to go. Gelsberg will have one timeout remaining. Down 21-7. Third and about eight for Geneseo when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Gelsberg High School football and WGIL is brought to you in part by Templeton Roofing, Gelsberg and the surrounding area's oldest and most trusted residential and commercial roofing contractor. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Gelsberg.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging. But you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Geneseo Maple Leafs 5-for-8 on third downs. In this game, facing third and eight from their own 30-yard line, leading Gelsberg 21-7, 4:39 to play in the game. Two wideouts to the left. Neal is the running back, lined up to the left of the quarterback, who I believe is still Weller. They put Taylor in motion. Tosses to him. Streaks converge for a short gain, if any. And now Galesburg calls its final timeout with 4:28 to go, stopping the clock and bringing up fourth down.
Yeah, and I think that's the right calls here, right? You got to stop the clock, hopefully get a quick score. Then you're looking at an onside kick situation possibly after that. It is still in the cards here. Forcing Geneseo, I'm assuming, to – it is fourth down, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, forcing Geneseo to bring the punting unit out. I think you got to bring a block here,
bring
Sean.
It here, yeah. I was always a big fan of –
thinking 30. Of Nolan Carl here,
between,
yep.
Between the 30s is the best place to be bringing the blocks.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, inside any other areas there, you're risking the fact of running into them and then giving a good position.
Yeah,
and
I think if you take
if you're
that
punting
risk.
From the 20, you're going to be able to – get good field starting position for yourself, but now is the time to do it. I mean, we're between the 30s, and definitely need a big play here.
We saw the one punt in the first half. The Geneseo kicker is very capable of flipping the field from this position if he gets another good punt off. He is into the wind this time, not with it, but I would certainly – you got to have as short a field as possible to save time on offense. You got to bring a block here, I would assume.
Jake, is that Weller? Is that three?
Yep.
It is. Weller is the punter.
I don't think I noticed that earlier. Hopefully.
I did not. That brings in a bunch of things into play when your quarterback's your punter.
Let's watch Nolan Carl, who's lined up to the right side. He loves these opportunities. He's coming in. They block him, though, and the left foot kick is a good one.
Jeez.
And spiraling to the far side of the field, and it goes out of bounds.
Oh, he dropped a flag.
At the third. Yeah, I don't know why he put a flag down, but it's out of bounds at the 30. And that's where the Streaks will have the ball. 4:22 to play in the game, down 21-7. Cincinnati has regained the lead on the Cardinals, a run in the seventh inning. Cardinals batting in the bottom of the seventh, down 5-4. Magic number is 12, I believe. Does that sound right, Hick?
I don't know.
Why didn't you ask me, Brad?
You're mathematically out.
Yes.
I will talk about it more if you'd like us to.
No, I'm good.
So you talk about flipping the field, Jake. That's exactly what happened. From 130 to the other 30. And that's where Galesburg starts, needing to go 70 yards quickly. Out of timeouts now with 4:22 to play in the game, down two touchdowns.
Weller's too in the wide. Ball game playing free safety now for Geneseo
screen.
As
under
well.
Under pressure on a screen pass, complete to Aguirre. Gets to the line of scrimmage, cuts back to the 45, or rather 35. And then to the far side of the field where tackle made at the 37.
Flag came in. I think Weller on a tackle may have had his hand in the face mask area.
Has he been playing free safety all game as well?
I have not paid that much attention.
Not that I recall, but.
It's an interesting gamble when you're up two touchdowns. So there's the penalty. Tacking on five, an incidental face mask, and a first down for the Streaks at the 43. Cam's been a favorite target of Geno tonight. Mari's had the last couple of catches, 52 yards receiving for Cam tonight. Geno steps in front of one tackle, fires it across the middle, and complete in Geneseo territory to Eicher at the Geneseo 49-yard line.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
A couple yards short of a first down. There you go. Throwing the ball back to the official. One of your favorite things, Sean.
It is.
You have to go hand it to the guy. You can never trust the official to catch it.
We handed it to the side judge.
The wrong official. That's what I'm saying.
The side judge and threw it in the middle, and it was.
You got to run it back to the hash and hand it to the official that's going to spot the football.
The ball.
Second and three. Straight drop by Geno. Looking long near sideline. Downfield. Curtis. He caught it, but he's out of bounds.
Yep.
Out of bounds at about the 15-yard line. Nick did a nice job to get him, or rather Marcus, did a nice job to turn himself around and get in a position to catch that one, but unfortunately the position about a step out of bounds. Incomplete. Stops the clock. 3:21 to go in the game. Third and two Streaks, down 21-7.
I mean, a good adjustment to that. You'd hate to run that far.
Yes.
You know, you can't see where your feet are, but you're making an adjustment to the ball. And you make a nice play, and you catch it, and you come up, and you look, and the official's telling you, sorry, you're out of bounds. Third down here.
Third and a long two. Straight drop again by Geno. Looking left. Still looking left. Now rolling left. Stops under pressure. Cuts back. Rolling right. Back at the 40. Now throws middle. Complete. Nolan Carl. and he's got the first down across the 45, close to the 43-yard line.
Hey, this is just Gino playing backyard ball right now. He's, you know, like he sets the drop, but he hasn't been able to hit his initial receiver in the route, so he scrambles around for a little bit. He finds a guy. It's just scramble drill.
Yeah, the only thing he's missing out there is a stick that he's drawn in the dirt.
To the bottle cap.
You go here. You're doing a post. Oh, boy.
High snap. Gino collects it. Slings it through the middle. Complete to Amari Richardson. Steps out of bounds close to the 35-yard line. 2:50 to go in the ball game. Streaks down 21-7. Where are they going to say he went out? They're going to spot it at the 36 for a gain of 7.
And because he went out of bounds, we're not in a big rush here. We get the play that we want in.
Gelsberg, basically, with every receiver available out there, this is taxing on these receivers running all these routes, whether they're catching the ball or not, running all these routes. Got to run back to the huddle, get running again.
Hey, well, I'm going to say they have all day tomorrow to recover.
Yeah.
Gino with 112 yards passing now. Four wides. Aguirre stays in to block. Flushed out of the pocket. Gino rolling left. Stop. Defense chasing
Ball's
him down.
Out.
Tackles him. Back at the 50. And the ball free, recovered by the Silver Streaks all the way back at their own 46-yard line. So keeping the possession alive for the Silver Streaks on the fumble recovery. Way on the far side of the field, Aaron Kelly. But a massive loss for the Streaks.
Why is the clock stop? Oh, there it goes.
Thank goodness it is.
Man, I'm glad it was.
Yeah. But it's back at the 47-yard line. It goes as a loss of 17. So Gino scrambling, but ends up losing the ball. Streaks hang on to it. Now straight drop. Rolling right. He's at his own 40. Dumps it off. Intended receiver upfield, Mikey Eicher. And now fourth and 20 with 2:14 to play in the game. And any chance the Streaks might have here is the ball game on this next play. Fourth and 20 from their own 47.
Yeah, going back to that second down play, where were we, second and 3? You know, Gino, very dynamic player. He's trying to keep the play alive. It's, you know, be nice at that point in time. Find a guy, dump it out in the out of bounds, and
yeah, throw it away.
Throw it away, yep.
Fourth and 20. Last gasp for the Streaks with 2:14 to play in the game, down 2 touchdowns. Straight drop by Gino. Pressure comes in, steps up in the pocket. He's going to have to run. 50, 45, 40 of Geneseo. Stays in bounds, lowers the helmet.
It's close.
Boy, he's
there.
Close. I think he did get there. They mark him out at the 34-yard line. I don't know. He might be a yard short.
It's worth a measure at this point.
2:04 is where the clock has stopped. Of course, the sticks are all the way on this side of the field. Gino was out the far side of the field. He had to get to the 33.
Looks like he's spotted at the 34 on my sideline where this official's standing.
Have officials time on the field for a measurement.
Yep, I think you've, in all fairness,
yeah, they should do this.
You've got to give them a chance. So 2:04 to play in the game. Ball is sitting just inside the 34-yard line on the Geneseo sideline, opposite side of the field. But I think Gino had to get to the 33.
I'm with you, Jake. I think we're going to be a little short here, but hopefully it translates something differently here.
Yep.
We set the.
Streaks fans guiding with their heart over here, but he's short. And I think that's a right spot. So Gino gains 19, but it's a yard short. And Geneseo's going to win this game. All they have to do is run out the clock on a few snaps. 2:04 to play, and the Streaks unable to stop the clock with no timeouts remaining.
Yep, 3 knees. We'll do it.
So the Streaks will be able to look back at just some key mistakes in this game. Yeah. A well-played game, but
good drives. We put together good drives, but then we would shoot ourselves in the foot. It would stall out.
A couple fumbles inside the Geneseo 30 that the Streaks lost possession. The first turnover by Galesburg. Geneseo turned right around and scored four plays later. Streaks responded, took the lead at 7-6 after Geneseo missed the extra point. Streaks came right back, but then Geneseo got a score with 8 seconds to go before halftime. And they'll run it. They don't take a knee. They go ahead and run it right to Neal, with Weller staying in the game at quarterback. He'll pick up about three. And the clock rolls.
So they can snap this one at about 1:15. Get it reset, and you can snap the next one. And I mean, they don't need to do this. The mathematics just says you can take a knee, and then you'll be fine.
First substitution by Streaks there. We have Isaiah Coleman going in for Curtis.
And here they go. Now they're lined up in victory.
Play clock rolling down to 4, 3, 2. There's the snap with a minute 14 to play. Good math, Jake.
Yeah. So this one you can snap at 30 seconds, and then that's it.
Well, two well-played games tonight. Heartbreaking loss for the freshman-sophomore combined team, 16-14. But just key mistakes at the wrong time for the varsity here tonight, and they'll fall to 0-2 in the Western Big Six Conference. 1-3 overall, with homecoming next week, Quincy coming to town. 21-7 will be the final here with one more snap to go. Play clock down to 3, the snap made, 30 seconds to go, and that'll do it. Post-game show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Not only did I buy a car at Yen last month, I bought into a family. I didn't know I could be treated so well and given so much extra free stuff. They have this program called Yen Advantage, which gives me 1 year of key replacement and tire service, even for road damage or a nail in my tire. I also got dent repair for an entire year. My finance guy explained everything without being pushy. He was so patient. I love my brand new Encore GX and everything about my time at Yen.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg.
Thinking of selling your house on your own? It can be done, especially when you post pictures online and drive people there with radio commercials. For just $150, your home will be advertised on the radio for up to a year. Learn more at galesburg.info, keyword FISBO.
WGIL, keeping you connected to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Mandy Balser from WGIL. Come read with the family at Galesburg Public Library during Fall Story Times, the first and third Mondays through November at 6 p.m. Or take part in Toddler Story Time on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Both programs are free and no registration is required. Learn more on the community events page at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and connected to Galesburg. Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Ford of Galesburg on West Main Street, where your purchase is backed by our promise. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Cordwright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Hinchliffe Pearson West, funeral directors and cremation services in Galesburg and Abingdon. Here for you and your family in your time of need. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson and Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. And by Solvera Health in Galesburg. Bringing hospitality to healthcare. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
21-7 the final. Geneseo defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Game 2 of the Western Big Six Conference season. Let's find out what the coach has to say about it. Jake's down on the field with head coach Derek Blackwell.
Okay, Coach, what started out as a great defensive struggle for the first quarter, exchanging punts back and forth, what kind of evolved offensively for Geneseo that started to put a charge in their offense and make some gains into our territory to put some scores on the board?
They just played simple, fundamental football and pounded it. They just pounded it up the middle. We just have some work to do up the middle with our inside guys, our linebackers, and everybody else inside. They just ran the ball hard, and they did well.
Weller seemed to kind of get himself going, obviously, in the second quarter there at the end, and then in the second half. He seemed to be their biggest offensive threat, especially after you guys knocked out Helke somewhere there mid in the second quarter. Was that, I mean, not that you didn't know he couldn't run the ball, but was that expected for him to be such a major part of their offensive run game?
You know, when he came in, I figured they were going to run him a little bit. We were manning up everybody, and they got a glimpse of that. They understood that, and the quarterback's obviously not in the run game scheme, so they did a good job of finding out what we were doing and running it against us.
Coach, every ball game has some things, some mistakes, and some plays that go one way or the other. Can you think tonight, what were, in your mind, the big either mistakes we made or the big plays that they made that kind of turned this thing in their favor?
The kick, for one, that we didn't recover, that was huge. That kind of deflated us. That, and they came back and made it to the one-inch line. They say the football is a game of inches, but obviously we won that. But just the kickoff and things of that nature just deflating us. The big plays up the middle, those are deflating in itself. If you just keep running 10 yards, 10 yards, chunking 10 yards. So I think our defense was getting a little deflated. We just have to do a better job of staying up, keeping our chin up and our chest out, and keep playing, play to the next play.
So, Coach, I'll let you finish with this one. You know, the talk, the story coming in was, what was Geno going to be able to do offensively? And I'm going to give you a second. You know, what I watched offensively, what he did, what we asked him to do, the touchdown runs, one of the best runs I've seen in years, what he did individually on that run. Talk to me a little bit about what you got out of Geno tonight from what you expected to get and what he put into this week to be ready to play tonight as a backup quarterback.
So going all the way back, Geno's been a receiver his whole life. At freshman, he was forced to play quarterback, so he played that his freshman and sophomore years. We knew he was coming in to be the backup, and also we also knew that Geno is very dynamic as a quarterback, as a runner, as just an athlete. So we knew that we tried to use his legs a little bit. We didn't use his arm as much as I thought we should have. That's my fault. But I think Geno did a great job handling the team today. He just put into a position just this week. We put in a lot of new plays. There was a lot on his plate, and I think he handled it well.
All right, Coach. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, our thanks to Streaks head coach Derek Blackwell joining us here in the postgame. 21-7 the final. We'll take a timeout, come back, give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Also, take a look at the final statistics. 21-7, Geneseo wins it here tonight on their home field, on their homecoming against the Galesburg Silver Streaks on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Standing at the end of the driveway, surveying the cracks, you imagine how much nicer your house would look with a new concrete driveway. For any and all jobs involving concrete, consult the experts at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next concrete project.
Go get them, Silver Streaks. This is Jeff Klink from Galesburg Nissan, reminding everyone Galesburg Nissan has the area's largest and nicest rental car fleet, an awesome detail shop, Galesburg Car Care, and we are driven to create customers for life. A free lifetime warranty with no gimmicks. Every fifth oil change is free for life, and a free loaner car for life. Galesburg Nissan, Galesburg Nissan Car Rental, Galesburg Car Care, and Galesburg Nissan Pre-Owned Auto Center all say, let's go Streaks.
Want to hand your favorite local charity $100? Nominate them for Hometown Hundreds. Every week, F&M Bank and Galesburg.info draw a winner from the Knox and Warren County nominees. Like the Knox County Genealogical Society, who just got $100. Nominate now at Galesburg.info, keyword hundreds.
Inspired by Rush, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Weekdays 11 to 2 on WGIL.
Final statistics in this 21-7 victory for the Geneseo Maple Leafs. We'll start off with the victorious team. A.J. Weller, the quarterback, 15 carries, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. Absolute daggers against the Silver Streaks. 55 yards for their first score of the night and 30 yards for their final score, their only score in the second half. Jaron Neal, the featured running back after the injury to their starting running back, Connor Helke. Neal finished the night 13 carries for 54 yards. William Taylor carried it 3 times for 17. Helke, before going out with the injury, carried it 4 times for 4 yards. Megar Kurth is a backup quarterback for a few snaps, carried it once for 7 yards, and Jaden Winzerl had one carry for 1 yard. Weller finished the night 5 for 7 passing with a touchdown. That was a 13-yard reception by William Taylor, who had 3 catches for 31 yards. Cooper McKeag also had a 27-yard reception that was about a foot away from being a 28-yard touchdown prior to halftime. Geno Williams on the ground tonight. Actually, Geno accounted for 192 yards of the Streaks offense, 89 on the ground on 15 carries. I forgot to write down that 19-yard run he had on what turned out to be the Streaks' last play of the game. Cam McGuire had really his best night of the season, 13 carries for 47 yards. Amari Richardson, 5 carries for 9 yards. And Nick Curtis had a 2-yard run. Geno finished with 112 yards passing. He was 11 of 14 for the game. Aguirre had 4 of those catches for 52 yards. Richardson, 3 receptions for 35. Mikey Eicher had 2 catches for 19. He was well defended all night. And Nolan Carl had a 6-yard reception. Streaks penalized 5 times for 59 yards. Maple Leafs, less so, 5 times for 50 yards. Take a final timeout. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back to close it out from Geneseo next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At Solvera Health, we realize healthcare is local and personal. That's why we're excited about our new primary care clinic in Galesburg, located off I-74 at Exit 48B, offering primary care, urology, and women's health. We welcome new patients and accept most insurances. You are providers online at solverahealth.com/Galesburg or call us at 309-233-2836 to schedule an appointment. At Solvera Health, we bring hospitality to healthcare.
WGIL is proud to be connected to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Chris McIntyre from WGIL. Don't miss the Out of This World Family Steam Night at Galesburg Public Library Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m. This fun night of star-themed activities and crafts is open to children in grades K through 5 and their caregivers. Find out how to register on the community events page at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and connected to Galesburg. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
In order of business, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We're not going to give it to you yet, but we are going to talk about one of our candidates and the reasons why. Sean, you were making the case, so I'll let you talk about who the guy we considered but aren't going with.
Yeah, I mean, at the time the play occurred, we talked about it being one of the most dynamic runs that we've seen in recent years. Talked about it in the post game with Coach Blackwell, and we used the word dynamic in the game broadcast, and it was the same word that Coach Blackwell used at the end of the game talking about Geno Williams' run that he put in. That was our only points that we got on the board. It was a play where he should have been sacked in the backfield, but he kept the play alive, kept his feet moving, and probably broke 3 or 4 more tackles on his way to the end zone. But, you know, we see that play and we know how dynamic it was, but we really came to the conclusion that there was a play later in the game that really put us in position to mount a comeback. It was a fourth down that we stopped them on, And I'm going to hand it over to Jake to talk more about that.
Well, so here is the situation. Sorry, Geneseo had scored on the opening drive of the second half to make it 21-7. The Streaks came right back and were moving the ball downfield, but then fumbled it away at the Geneseo 27-yard line, got a penalty tacked on at the end of the play. So Geneseo was starting the drive from near midfield at their own 49-yard line, and they took it down to the Galesburg 17-yard line facing a 4th-and-2 with the Streaks down 2 touchdowns at the time.
Yeah, and the stop that John Willis made on that 4th-and-2, right? Because if he doesn't make that play, Geneseo has a fresh set of downs and is able to walk it in for a 3-score lead with a quarter left. And so we mentioned that right here, this is the kind of paramount point of the ball game, and a stop has to be made, and John Willis made that stop on top of many other stops tonight, and he got beat some tonight too. But as far as a crunch time play of the game, what this award is about, I don't think there was a bigger spot in the game for somebody to make a play, and he did it at that time. So for that reason, John Willis will earn the Dave's Out of Body Crunch Time Player of the Game.
We said at the time that was certainly a candidate, and it ended up being the winning decision for tonight. So congratulations to John, and thanks as always to Dave's Auto Body sponsoring our Crunch Time Player of the Game. 21-7 the final. Geneseo wins it. Freshman sophomore game also goes to the Maple Leafs 16-14. Back home next week, it's our own homecoming with the Quincy Blue Devils in town. Lots happening at Galesburg High School, so we hope you can be a part of it, whether it's on the air, at the field, or both. For Sean Hickey, for Jake Miller, I'm Brad Benowitz. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Good night from Geneseo.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.